Well, let's talk about the other game.
Okay.
Infamous 2 demo.
Sorry, hold on. I'm gonna pee myself.
What are you doing? Okay.
He has to pee, apparently. Very badly.
That's why you go before the podcast.
That's not the way Jeff does things.
I wow. This is getting edited out, right?
Yeah, it'll get edited out. We're not like Game Crashers. We don't leave shit like this in there.
Yeah, well, you've seen how fast his turnaround is.
That's true.
It's like you've recorded the episode and literally within like 6 hours, it's online. I say literally, but it's more like 24. But still, that's amazing.
I love when he's like, Rob's like, okay, yeah, we're just going to cut this out. And then it stays in there the entire time. It's like, well, good job on cutting that out, right?
I love segments like that where they're talking for like 10 minutes about how they're going to cut this part out of the podcast. And not just on Game Crashers. Like, I've heard it on Bombcast and other podcasts that I listen to. And it's just like, I wouldn't know you were going to cut it out because it's still here. He's back, apparently. Let's stop talking about him.
You're in the same room, kind of. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Are we good?
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to talk about something else before that. So I could, that has creeped up on me out of nowhere. All right.
Oh my god, I have to pee! Interactive Distractions, episode number 182.
Hey.
My name is Christopher Akio.
Hey.
And I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And subbing in for Mr. Travis Baum, who had to work tonight, Mr. David Gallant. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, hi.
What was that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just died out there.
David, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, what the hell? I am pooped. It's been a hell of a week. It's been a hell of a past few days. Here I am on Interactive Distractions. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Well, that's a ringing endorsement.
For his week or for being on the show?
Both.
Well, this is a great way to end the week, so. Much cool. Appreciated. Glad to be on here, guys.
Well, we're glad that you joined us because I know that you got a chance to check something out this week, and we're going to get to that later. But before we do that, we're going to talk to Jeff and see how he's doing this week.
I'm not doing that good this week.
Are you feeling better, dude?
I am feeling much better than I did yesterday and on Wednesday. I took 2 days off from work. The first time ever, by the way, in the history of employment that I've taken 2 sick days in a row because I felt like total ass. Which is why I couldn't make the event. We'll talk about later. The Konami pre-3 presser. And surprisingly, it was open bar, and I turned that down.
Oh,
I couldn't
damn.
Go.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it was open bar before everything. Before I showed up, did you?
No, I had no idea. Oh. I kind of figured it might have been considering where it was and the way it was presented. But yeah, I didn't know for sure. But yeah, either way, I was like, oh, this sucks. So other than that, I've been okay. I mean, last week you guys did the show with Chance, which turned out awesome. Chance did a very good job.
Yeah, he did. He did a great job.
I was actually David and myself, and as well as Better Tomorrow and Sass Bob from Retroids went out to a Scottish pub in Toronto, and it was pretty fun.
Was it Scottish, or was it just called Scotland Yard?
I'm guessing it was Scottish. Like, the whole theme of it, I guess, and kind of, who knows? Scottish, English, whatever. Pubs. They just throw the shit out there, and people come and drink.
It's in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means they like their beer piss warm, which we were having none of that. Yeah,
so true. But it was good. I didn't get home till about 3 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning, and I felt like total ass the next day at work. But it was good times. It was good times. Well worth it.
Of course, now you understand why I ducked out early.
Oh, yeah. You had the right idea. You got out of there early. Then I know Better Tomorrow, he had to work the next morning as well, but he stuck around for a little bit. And then when he left, I was like, okay, well, we're probably going to head back. And SaskBob's like, let's grab another beer. And I was like, okay. And that turned to like two or three more. And I was like, oh, my God. Fuck my life. But it was worth it. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, that's basically all that's been happening to me this, like, past week. Weather's finally getting summery, which is awesome. Finally, like, your Atlantean weather there, Chris.
Well, Atlantean, it's been all underwater?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, right. Hotlanta. My bad.
Oh, no.
People don't say that anymore.
No,
it has been fucking hot down here lately, man. We've been hitting mid-90s a lot this week.
Wow. What's that in real temperature?
That's
like 40?
I think it's probably around 35 to 40, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that sounds
I believe
right.
So.
That's pretty
There's
hot.
Math involved in this, so I can't calculate right now.
But yeah, I mean, besides that, you know, same old shit, man, working, getting stuff done around, trying to get stuff done around the house. Thought about buying a new TV this weekend.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Kind of put that on hold right now because I had some plumbing work that has to be done.
Nope.
And, I mean, the plumbing work is not going to cost me what I thought it was going to.
Did you clean the pipes?
Yes, cleaning the pipes. but we are, so we have two toilets that are leaking. They're coming in fixing both toilets. And one of the toilets is upstairs and it ruined a wall. So they're coming in and they're redoing the wall. And they're doing everything for $450. So that turned out a lot better than I thought it was going to.
But now you're not going to have a new TV for a little bit.
You know what? That's okay because the TV that I was looking at is $2,800.
Oh.
And
that's going to go down by the time you're ready for it again.
Exactly. It's you know what I'm doing right now is I looked around and I did a lot of research this past couple weeks and I found a Vizio that I was interested in. But then I found out that they have their 2011 line is not out yet, and their front runner TV, that their 2011 like front runner TV, which is not out yet, won Best in Show at CES. So I want to wait and see what that's going to be about. Cause, the Vizios are looking really good right now. Like the last year's Vizio is still in the top five best HD TVs out there right now. So,
that's cool.
And
they're relatively like decently priced compared
they're much better priced. Like the one that the LCD, full array LCD that I was looking at, was I think 18. Compared to the plasma from Panasonic that I was just looking at, that was 28.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking that this Vizio that's coming out, if they can come out around 2000, I mean, that's going to save me $800. It's going to come pre-installed with Google TV and lots of bells and whistles and shit like that. And then if they build on top of what they had last year, they're going to still have one of the best pictures out there. So, that's kind of what I know a lot more about TVs now than I should. Let's just put it that way, because I've been doing so much fucking research trying to figure out what I want to do.
You're one of those guys who, like, goes at it with hardcore with research and like will not make a decision until you like know for sure.
Yeah, I have to know which TV I want. And the reason I was actually going with the plasma was because of input lag on for gaming. But I'm really hoping that the input lag on these Vizios won't be as bad as they have been in the past. Like one of the ones that, like the one that's in the top five TVs. It has great picture and everything, but there's like up to four frames of input lag, which is a lot.
Yeah.
We'll see how it works out. I'm putting it on hold right now because I've got some other stuff I need to take care of, but, yeah, that's that. So.
Cool.
All right. Let's take a look. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah,
exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
Games. What
Games.
Up?
Games. Yes. That's it's 10:45 and we just started, so I'm a little bit, it's going to take me a while. Yeah. So let's talk about some games. Dave, let's start with you, man. What are you playing this week?
Oh, you're going to love what I've been playing, because I've been playing Sissy's Magical Ponycorn Adventure.
That's awesome.
I'm so proud, I think.
Chris, you played this game, didn't you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I could have sworn I saw on your Twitter feed that you got to try it.
Try what?
It's the game made by the 5-year-old girl.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, well,
Jason actually put it in a thread, an email thread, not a couple days ago. Chris, I don't know if you remember. He was like, hey, you guys going to – who's, like, first in line to review this or whatever? And I was like, kind of lost. Like, yeah, it's funny because that's the company that Dave's actually applying for an internship for.
No, not just applying. Well, I am now
you actually
an
now,
intern.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping you'd lead into that. Okay. Go,
so you're serious.
Oh, he's no, totally am, serious.
Oh, no, no. This is literally a game made by a five-year-old Gore. I mean, of course, with some – very big assistance from her 33-year-old father.
Well, yeah, of course.
But Sissy's Magical Pony Corn Adventure is a game made during Toronto's
It sounds
Toronto's
like
Indie
porn.
Game Jam.
I'm sorry. It really does.
It does. No, you add you throw an extra R in there, and it gets kind of raunchy. I mean, it's ripe for Rule 34, which is kind of sad because it's a five-year-old who made this game. The last thing you want to do is corrupt that. But basically... this girl did all of the artwork for the game, so they're all crayon drawings scanned into the game. It's an adventure game, point and click.
That's cool, though.
This custom engine. She did almost all the voice work, and she even did the music. And so, wow. I mean, this thing has been exploding. I mean, it's been in pretty much all the Canadian newspapers now. It was on the front page of one of our local papers this morning. It's been on TV. It's been featured online. It's all available online to free at ponycorns.com. For those of you who don't know, a ponycorn
is
a...
Be careful typing that into Google.
Yes, yes.
Do not misspell that.
Save search on. A ponycorn is a pony unicorn.
Okay.
It should be obvious.
It
really
wasn't,
shouldn't.
But it is now. Now
yeah,
that you mentioned
no,
it that way.
I did not even put that together until you just said that.
until you said it, now it makes sense. I was wondering if it had something to do with, like, I don't know, cornhole or something. I thought we were going down that road again.
Well, I'm already in the closet. So.
New for the Kinect in 2011.
Pony cornhole. Oh, that's nice. Very disturbing in so many ways. Okay, continue.
No, so it's free to play at the website. He's taking donations for his daughter's education fund, which is up to about $2,000 right now. Game's been played over 150,000 times.
Wow.
So really impressive. Check it out. It's only like 5-minute game. So when I say I've been playing it all week, I am flat out lying. but I needed to throw that in there. What I've really been playing is Assassin's Creed 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm well behind the curve when it comes
Travis
to the Assassin's
right
Creed. Yeah, so...
Should have been Game of the Year, man, motherfucker! Dog!
The worst thing is I've already had the ending spoiled for me. So I know the craziness that I'm going to expect when I get to the end of this game. And it feels like... It feels like an old friend, because I put a lot of time in the original Assassin's Creed. Like I nearly 100%ed that crap. That was before there was any trophy to show that I did, because that shit don't got no trophies. But I mean, otherwise, I haven't really had time for playing games. I've been trying to learn how to make games.
That's cool,
been
man.
Taking up most of my time.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, because even today, before you, like, actually, for those who are listening, remember before we had the Australian in my closet, now we got the other Canadian in my closet. Yeah. Dave's actually right here. And before he came over here, he was at some game thing, coding. Explain that a little bit, because it's kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, the Toronto development community, especially with a lot of the independent developers, is pretty strong. Plus, we got a lot of students in, studying in game design programs. So what I was at was something called a game jam. Basically, people get together for a certain amount of time, make games together. This one... It was all right. It wasn't what game jams have been. But basically, this was about 10 people crammed into a computer lab in George Brown College trying to make a game for 3 hours. This was my real first attempt at making my own game, and I failed miserably.
That's okay. First attempt is you're liable to
fail. I drew
an
L.
Exactly. Well, I didn't even draw anything. Like it took me up until... the end of the 3 hours to actually get something to show up on the screen. And that was before putting in any actual game mechanics. And in order to make it show up, I had to break what I had coded anyways. Beautiful. It was awesome. So I was trying to make a game called Pearl Picker. I'll let you dwell on that.
Also, be careful with Googling that as well.
Nothing good will come of Googling Pearl Picker.
What kind of company are you going to be interning for, dude?
Oh,
prong games.
So the next game is called Reach Around Master. And...
So yeah, don't be looking for Pearl Plucker on consoles anytime soon. That's
a shame.
What about a Nintendo system?
No.
Well, sorry.
You could probably get it on like DSiWare.
We're in talks. 3DS eShop 2012.
There you go. Cool, man. Cool. That's awesome. I am excited for you because I've always wanted to try and break into that, and it's, yeah, my life just didn't lead that direction. So,
well, the thing is that there's so many venues into it now, and there's so many ways that you can make games without being a game designer. There's a tool right now you should probably check out. Someone like yourself. It's a little tool called Stencil. And what it is, it's a like a Flash-based platform game maker. So, you know, a little 2D thing, sprites, jumping, that sort of thing. And all of the programming is done with these little drag-and-drop modules. It actually, the whole programming system is a system designed by MIT to be used by children in classrooms. So you could do it. You could totally
Thanks,
use it.
The programming end of it's not the problem, dude. It's the art.
No, oh, trust me. You don't want to see the picture of my clams.
You see the picture of your clams?
The 5-year-old crayon drawings would probably be better than anything I could come up with. So,
well, and that's the thing. Sometimes there's a charm to that, man. Sometimes there's a charm to, well, okay, no. There's not a charm to it being like, okay, this looks like a 5-year-old's drawing, but this came from a 30-year-old.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All
right.
Well, cool.
Sorry, right. Someone else. Jeff. What have you been playing?
What are you playing?
Oh, fuck, man. I'm playing a lot. Continuing on so some L.A. Noire. Haven't beat it yet. So
same
I
here.
I listened to Chance and Travis' spoiler part of last show.
I have not
I do
either.
Agree with basically almost everything they said about the game, though. I won't go into it anymore until I beat it. But I'm having so much fun with the game, but I think it definitely does have its flaws.
I'm getting annoyed at the... I'm just getting really annoyed at the whole thing with the interrogations because... I mean, it's so inconsistent, it seems. It's like there are times when this woman's looking me right in the face. Her eyes have not moved. Truth. Wrong.
What? Yeah.
What?
See, that part doesn't bother me as much anymore because now besides a couple where they do that, it's my thing is there's one case where you get to pick one person. This is kind of earlier in the game. You have to pick
I did that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like literally a case or two cases after that, you get to the point where you put three people in interrogation rooms, but you don't get to pick. It's just after you're done interrogating one of those characters, you automatically throw them in jail. And I was like, wait a second, why did they make, like, why couldn't I have that choice in this one to make? And the reason why it bugs me is because the case where you had two is there is what I thought a bunch of evidence leading up to who I thought was the killer, and then I convicted that person, and apparently I was wrong. But I wasn't sure if I was wrong because he was or wasn't the killer, or if it was because it wasn't the person that the chief of police wanted me to put into jail.
I don't think there's a right or wrong for that one.
Both of them couldn't have killed him.
I know, but that's the thing. From the game's perspective, I don't think there's a right or wrong.
Oh, no, there isn't. It'll all work itself out in the end, but that's my biggest problem.
My big problem with that was, and I'm going to try not to spoil anything with this, is there were things that were said in the interrogation that led up to the conviction
I don't know how you're going to say this, but it's...
For the one that the chief of police didn't want you to convict.
Yes, okay.
There were other things that you could have, like, done. Like, he says things during the interrogation that you could have checked on to see if they were true or not, and they wouldn't let you. It's like...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he talks about...
his car.
I didn't get to the car, but he talks about, like, the clothes he was wearing and the fact that they are, like, the clothes in question are still... at his house. Well, why couldn't I go back and check that? He talks about the shoes he was wearing and something that I could have checked about that. Something that was actually already in the progress of being checked.
The shoes apparently is something that I didn't get that clue apparently, so I didn't go into that line of dialogue, but apparently he does explain his shoes and it does kind of make sense in a way.
And that's what I'm getting at. It's like, they were actually, like, I don't ever get a chance to determine whether or not he was telling the truth about his shoes. Because that right there would have made it obvious that he wasn't the one that I was supposed to
and
pick.
It's not one of the things you can pick where it's not a reactionary thing where once he says it, you can pick truth, doubt, or lie. He just says it. It's after you already
make a decision.
Pick something. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you have no idea what it is that he's saying. In fact, he says that after you, I think you pick lie. I think that's the right way to go. And then he says that. So it's like, okay, well, I called him out in a lie, then he's saying this. So what do I do from here?
Yeah. It's very cryptic the way they do things like that. And, you know, I think that there's more. I mean, there's no reason that you can't lock both of them up for another day so you can gather more evidence. You know, that's kind of what I'm getting at. I felt like they could have done better with that.
For sure, for sure. But other than that, like little things like that, like I do like the game. It's kind of addicting.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
The storyline's good. I like doing the cases no matter what. Now, I've gotten to the point now where I'm like, I'm just going to play it even if I – like I hate the fact that it tells you whether you're right or wrong right away if you do something. But I've kind of gone – if I get more than two wrong in a case, I usually reload. But I'm cool with getting one or two things wrong. I'm like, yeah, no big deal.
I'm not going to lie. I do that too.
Yeah, I'm like, I know the outcome's not going to change, so whatever. No big deal.
I want the experience points, bitches.
Exactly. Other than that, I'm playing a lot of The Witcher 2.
Cool.
PC.
How are you liking
it? Yeah. I love that game. That game is so fucking good.
Like, I think I'm getting a copy of that.
Good. Yeah, I think you are too. Because, yeah. It is, I think it's a lot better than the first game. Like, I enjoyed the first game. I didn't play a lot of the first game. I think I played about 5 hours of it. And the combat really kind of turned me off. I don't like, if it's not like a Diablo-type game, I don't like clicking on my enemies to attack them, like with a mouse.
I don't like do even in Diablo things. Type games. I don't like doing that.
Yeah, you don't either way. But this game, you could tell, was built with a control pad in mind, and the combat in it is way more action adventure-y than the first one. It's more. It kind of feels like Assassin's Creed-esque kind of, but it's not as fluid in terms of like counters and like deflecting attacks and stuff like that till later in the game that you open up kind of like skills. But it's more real time. So it's like you hit the button, swings the sword. There's like a light attack, strong attack, and then a sign attack, which is basically magic, like cast fire, like force power type shit. Cool. It is pretty cool. But the game, first of all, looks amazing. Like it is probably one of the best games I've ever seen.
Cool.
Like, in my life. It's really good. Again, like I said, I was sick the last couple of days and just kind of getting over it now. So I spent the entire time playing that game on my TV.
Nice.
Which... the plus side is I'm comfortable on my couch with my controller. The bad side is it doesn't look as good as on a TV. It just doesn't. It doesn't look as crisp. Doesn't look as vibrant.
Right.
As I'm like a PC monitor. But that's fine. You know, comfort's kind of the important thing here. But the game is... it kind of makes me wish Mass Effect was more like it because there are decisions in this game that I thought of for a long time. There is one at the end of the first chapter where I literally turned off the game... made something neat, thought about it, like, what am I going to do? I really don't know what I'm going to do here. This is ridiculous. Like, I know something's going to happen, and I don't want to make a decision, but I have to. What am I going to do? And I literally, like, was thinking in my mind, what are the plus and minuses of this whole thing? So I made my decision, and this game actually really affects the game, whereas a game like Mass Effect or Dragon Age, you can still pretty much go everywhere in the game, and your decisions really don't have that much of an impact on the world until later in the game. Whereas you can miss out on total portions of this game depending on your decisions.
Oh, wow.
Decisions. Yeah, so it's like your decisions actually really matter. And some of them might seem minor, but they come out later, like hours down the line, and you're like, oh my god, I do remember that, and that was totally my fault. Or good for me, I did that. And it's really cool. Like the I think it's CD Projekt Red is the developer, and they kind of went balls out and took a risk of doing this because... I don't know, like, we've talked about this before, like, when you're making, decisions in games, you don't want to feel like you're making the bad one, and a lot of console developers want to appease, like, all audiences and be like, okay, well, you can make all these decisions, but realistically, it's going to come to the very end where you can kind of reverse these decisions if you really want to kind of, like, have the impact on, like, the end of the game where they don't do that. They're like, no, you make your decision, and that's it, basically, and you kind of... stuck with it, and it's going to change some shit. And I kind of really like that and hate it at the same time, because when a game like this, I hate talking like other people on Retroizer playing this game, and they took it totally... like, I feel like I'm the only one who made this one decision in this first chapter, and everyone else did the other one. I'm kind of like, why did they not make the same decision as me? Like, did I do something wrong? And I just should stop reading boards. I'm like, just go through with my own story, see what happens, see how I like it or whatever. But it's really, really intriguing. Like, it's really cool. And I can't recommend it to enough people who have a PC. And this game, even on low settings, looks really good. Like, I'm running it, like, my PC's actually pretty decent now, so I'm running it pretty close to Ultra, but it's gorgeous, and it's a lot of fun. The characters are awesome. It is kind of hard to understand if you haven't played the first game, because a lot of the characters, they don't really explain anything, but it does have a good journal section of the game where you can read up on all the backstory, but if you really want to put in the time to read all that stuff. But really cool. I'm probably about 15 hours in or so, maybe wow, 16. Dude. Yeah, it's pretty awesome, and it's even the side quests that usually are just like fetch quests in most games or escort missions aren't like that. Every quest in this game I've done, there's multiple ways to beat them, like to solve them, and they're all really, really different so far. And it's really, really, really cool. It's pretty damn awesome.
That's cool, man. Plan.
I'll talk about more, of course, like next week when hopefully I'll be beat it by next week because I'm like addicted to it. It's like the main game I'm playing. But other than some, like Mortal Kombat and stuff like that, and I'm sure we'll talk about the other game I played a little bit last night. That's pretty much it, like the big ones anyway. Chris,
okay. Well, let's talk about that other game then.
Let's do it.
Infamous 2, is that the
yeah,
game?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I downloaded that demo today and got
PSN store's
to play
back up.
Yeah, it is. Too bad you can't get your welcome back shit because Sony decides to say you can't get to it and then take it off of your list. Thank you, fucking Sony. And then after 25 minutes of being on phone, on hold, I never got through and my phone died. Awesome.
Hold on. I think someone needs to fill me in here because I haven't been back on the PlayStation Store since it came back up.
I tell you what, let's save this for news.
All right,
we'll save it for
sure.
Infamous 2. Downloaded that. That was a 2-point-something gig download, and it successfully downloaded off of the PSN store. I gotta say, all the things that that Travis was talking about last week,
true.
He was right. I'm enjoying it. I very much enjoy it. I like that they give you a taste of the different powers, the light and the dark, the evil and the good powers. Yeah. I love the new powers, especially like the
car pickup.
I love that.
That is
but
awesome.
They also have like the rocket launcher thing and on the evil side.
Well, that was in the first game
too. Yeah, it was, but I don't remember the evil side having like
the evil one was the same as the good side, just red.
Yeah, but in this game, it's got that flail type thing. It's like a lightning
shoots
flail.
At a bunch of them.
Yeah, and then the grenade is the same and all that stuff. And then they had like they showed off like
the grenade's different too for the evil side.
No, you could get the grenade to do that in the first one.
To spread out like that?
To spread, yeah. You could do that in the
first
one.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that in the first one. Yeah. I didn't really go evil, so.
Yeah, I beat the game both ways, and both ways. And
you did it both ways.
I did it both ways, oh yeah. And now, you do get a chance to do that.
What's going to kill me about playing Infamous 2, because you can import features from Infamous 1.
Right.
I know it'll read your trophy data, and I know you can import saves. So now your question is, when you get Infamous 2, which one are you going to play first?
I'll play the good way first.
Really?
Yeah, I'll play the good way first. And then I'll go back and play the evil way.
Is that how you played it the first time?
That's how I did it the first time, yeah.
Because I think I got to mix it up. I think I got to try evil first.
However, I think I'm going to do like, because I just have this strange feeling that I'm going to want to platinum this one too. Mm-hmm. I think I might see about doing my hard playthrough with the good guy instead of the evil guy. Because because on the last one, I did my hard playthrough as the evil version of Cole. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is everyone fucking hates you. And it makes it so much harder.
Yeah.
It's like, at least on the good way, the good side, you're only dealing with the enemies, you know?
But the good way and the bad part is you can destroy anything you freaking want to and not have to worry about civilians and shit and not get penalized for it.
True. Yeah, like when you get to the evil way, you get people throwing rocks at you. A couple rockets puts them in their place. But, I mean, with the evil side, you don't have as many powers that are restoring your energy, and that's where I found it more difficult. You were really, like, fighting to keep yourself stocked up and always trying to
feel that with the
environment.
I didn't feel that with the demo.
You won't get that with the demo. I don't think you will. I think that's something that'll come through extended playthrough, because I didn't get that from the first Infamous demo, and it did the same thing. It took you through different parts of the game. Like at different levels and with, you know, one part evil, one part good.
This one gives you four missions. You do one mission as a good Cole, and then you do two missions as evil Cole, and then you do one more mission as good Cole. And the first thing that you know was obvious to me is what Travis was talking about with the destructible environments.
Yeah,
and I was
awesome.
Just blowing balconies up and shit, and it was awesome. I mean, guys were just falling to their death,
and
it was fantastic. And I was just like, I'm going to love this fucking game.
That's one thing Infamous One didn't have enough of, is being able to rip the shit out of the environment.
No.
Because that makes you feel like a badass superhero.
Yeah, you can take down telephone poles, balconies, parts of buildings, towers. Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like they make it more subtle because you can't take out everything, but you can,
this ain't no Frostbite engine, folks.
Exactly.
But
wouldn't that be awesome?
But it would be awesome if they could put that shit in there.
That would be cool.
But it's like, I felt like just... the battles were so gratifying in the demo because stuff like that, like you'd be sitting there throwing grenades everywhere, firing your rockets, doing like your ground stomp thing. And next thing you know, you're just like, after the whole battle's done, you look around and how much destruction there was. And you're like, yeah, that was me.
That was me.
I did that.
Especially when you're evil Cole.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing that I was...
the visuals were great. Like,
much improved.
Are way better. I
didn't notice any texture drawing. That was my big thing.
I did notice texture drawing.
Did you?
But you have to really look for far away. Like it's not like it's way better than it was in the first one. Like you can't see it right up close or anything like that. Or
that's awesome.
What would be 50 yards away. But what impressed me was the character models. And during cutscenes, they actually emote now and they look more like... I wouldn't say they're as good as Uncharted, but the facial animation and the animations are really good now. And the actual characters have. Look like they have personality as opposed to just speaking lines and their mouth moving the first one.
It's funny you say that because they actually are using the same performance capture techniques that Naughty Dog uses. Naughty Dog actually met with them to show them how to do that.
And that is that's one of the things I really love about Sony first parties is because they do so much work together.
Oh, yep.
With the other first parties, and it shows in the quality of their games. I mean, Sony first party stuff, say what you will, but Killzone is awesome, Uncharted is awesome, Infamous is awesome. I mean, they just do a great job.
Yep. Sucker Punch, Naughty Dog, and Guerrilla, they really do share a lot between each other.
And even Insomniac, who has already said that they're doing, multi-platform stuff, but they've communicated back and forth with those first parties as well. So
Definitely. They all it's all comes down to who it's the community is kind of a family in a lot of ways, especially in regards to Sony first parties and even second parties, because they're all in it for the same thing. A lot of their games aren't competing with each other, so what's the harm in doing it?
Right.
I mean,
don't get me wrong, they still try and one up each other, and I've had one of the level designers from Guerrilla Games tell me as much.
Well, if Killzone 3 and Resistance 3 were being released in the same year, then maybe it'd be I guess technically they are being released in the same year, but one was early year, the second one is late fall. But no, I was impressed. The jump from 1 to 2 in Infamous, I'd say it is as big or bigger than the jump from Uncharted to Uncharted 2. And I saw Navishin tweet that, and I was like, I don't know, man, because not that Uncharted 1 was ugly by any means, it was still gorgeous, but... just 2 seems so much more polished than the first game. And this is what I kind of feel with Infamous 2. It just seems like it is more Infamous. I'm not going to lie. If you didn't like Infamous 1, you're probably not going to like Infamous 2.
That's true.
Demo.
And what the hell was wrong with you for not liking Infamous 1? Yeah,
exactly.
I don't like fun.
It's funny because we all love Crackdown. Crackdown's a pretty decent game, but... Infamous, I think, is light years beyond that, and it's still the same kind of idea, generally, with more of a storyline, and it's just such a better job of it, especially in the second one, and it's just I don't know, it's a game I really, really enjoy, and I don't really like open-world games, because I kind of get lost in them and get overwhelmed, but for some reason, Infamous, I really don't.
Well, they do a really good job of telling you where you need to go.
Exactly, they do a good job of that,
The great thing about something like Infamous is that you're not restricted to taking roads like you are in something like GTA. How do I get there? I'll just climb a building,
And, dude, the speed that you can do, because they don't do... And they've said this openly, that Infamous 2, they're not going to nerf you. They're not going to Metroid you where they take away your powers at the beginning. You have a lot of your powers that you have at the end of Infamous 1. So you're going to have the ability to rail slide and have the floating thing. Yeah, and
you're gonna have the grenade. You're gonna have the missile, the rocket.
Yeah, and the grenades and stuff all from the beginning, and you just feel like a total badass out of the gate. And I spent so much time like, do you guys remember playing like Spider-Man 2 for the first time, where you just kind of swung around the city?
Were you just blowing shit up?
Yeah, I was just blowing shit. And I was just like taking those rails and like, you know, floating through the, seeing how fast I can get from one point of the city to the other one. Because there's a lot more, what's it called?
There's a lot more rails that you can get on.
Rails, like, yeah, way more than the first one.
And yeah, instead of having like the train that goes around the city, now they have like cable cars. And the cables are all over the place, and you can slide on the cables of the cable cars.
Exactly.
And it's like they're everywhere, and you just go so fast, it's really badass.
You can get around, so it feels like Spider-Man, but you're not Spider-Man, and it's just so much more awesome, actually.
Yeah,
I agree. It's like, you just feel so, you actually feel like a fucking badass out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I'm so happy I thought they were going to neuter him and be like, there's some reason why he doesn't have his powers anymore. But glad they didn't go that way, because I tried replaying Infamous 1, and the reason I stopped is because I didn't have the rail slide and the floating thing. And I was like, that makes such a big difference.
Well, I played the shit out of the Infamous 1 demo, and when I finally picked up the main game, I was like, what do you mean I can't glide?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Yeah. Oh. And that's one of the later powers you open up. Well, I wouldn't say later, like mid-game.
It's mid, yeah. It's a mid-game power. Yeah. So it was frustrating at first trying to get used to not being able to traverse the city as easily as I could in the demo that I had played the shit out of. I mean, you're absolutely right. Once you get all the traversal powers, you're rail grinding and gliding and jumping into that and comboing that actually into attacks against enemies, I mean, you feel like a movie star.
Oh yeah, for sure. You feel fucking awesome. And they have some things on buildings now. It's like a electrical wire going up the building. So you need to get up it really quick. You jump on it and it shoots you up the side of the building. Like,
oh, I didn't see that.
Quick. I didn't see it either until someone told me about it in Retroid Shoutbox today. And I was like, I need to try this out. And I was like, that is fucking cool. Like, they made it, like, the way you can move around the city in this game is going to make it so much better than the first game. And I will say, Travis did mention on the show, I can't remember if it was last week, it must have been last week when I wasn't on, he said that he felt like the stickiness to Cole wasn't really there anymore. I still got the same stickiness towards, like...
It wasn't as bad, I noticed.
I guess it wasn't as bad, but I still saw that, but I have no problem with that, because that's what I like about it. Like, I felt like wherever I wanted to go, Cole went there. What I wanted Cole to grab onto, he grabbed onto.
Yeah.
So it was
that
fun
kind of
me.
Like super easy platforming.
Yeah.
If
exactly.
You're jumping in the general direction, you're going to land on it without having to be pixel perfect.
Exactly. Like, not crazy like Assassin's Creed where you just hold A and push forward and just like kind of do that. Like,
hold A, push forward, jump randomly to the right.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Did you guys, because they added a new mechanic to the melee as well. Did you guys figure that out? I didn't figure that out entirely.
Well, like they have a combo meter, and then you can I figured it out like at the very end of the demo, so I need to go back and play it again.
Yeah, I think I need to do the same.
Yeah,
because I think you need to build it up, and then when it's full, you have to hit triangle, and you'll do like a finish. Because I did one move where it was like super slow motion, this like badass acrobatic move where I like flipped over the enemy and grabbed him with my lightning stick or whatever the hell that thing is. Like wrapped it around his face. And like, but I am kind of worried. Like, I mean, the missions in the game didn't differentiate themselves much from the first game, which kind of worries me a little bit. Like, it still seemed kind of... Like, I know the second part of that demo is basically open world where you have the evil powers, and you can kind of do there's like four different things on the map you can choose to do. And I still felt like there were like... little throwaway type stuff, like, oh, there's protesters, and I'd go up there and hammer them with my electric stick and be like, you stop the protesters, bad karma. I'm like, what am I supposed to do as a good guy? Like, what do you do? Just walk with them and be like, yeah, it's bad or something. And you go to those guys, there's this one little thing on the map where a guy will have a crystal shard thing and he'll start running away from you. So I'm like, well, how am I going to get him? I'm just going to run at him and fucking bust his head in with my electric stick. And then I'd take him down, and I would just do the restrain thing. Like, not the one where you're, like, killing them or whatever. I'd restrain them, and it would be like, you stole Crystal Shard, and bad karma points. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? That's my shit.
Shoot him in the leg.
Like, didn't really explain what you're supposed to do with that. I was kind of like, okay, what do you do here? But
did you try talking to him, Jeff?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I guess my intuition. Yeah.
That thing.
My whatever points weren't high enough to talk to them. Sorry, I'm not thinking RPG right now. Come on, what's the word I'm looking for here?
I don't know.
Charisma? That. My charisma wasn't high enough to fucking
talk
him down. Fair to give me it.
Was
anyway.
Charisma your dump stat?
Regardless, mm-hmm. it's fucking awesome. And it
is really
day
cool.
One by.
I'm really looking forward to it. And oh, hell yeah. I have the Hero Edition pre-order, but I don't know if I'm going to keep it, though. I might just get the regular one. Because I saw the unboxing on IGN, and I was like, why am I ever going to use that bag? Do I really need another statue that's going to stay in the box? Short answer, hell yeah! But
I would fucking use that bag. I have just not enough bags, man. I'm rocking a Club Nintendo cloth satchel. I can barely hold my shit.
Hey, I still have the messenger bag from Mirror's Edge.
Dude, that thing is worth a lot of money.
I know, dude.
Really? I destroyed one of those, man. That was my last bag.
It was like it's worth like 100 like 100 plus right now.
Yeah. Oh god, yeah. One just
that was
get
actually
torn apart.
Like actually limited. Yeah. That's something you want to hold on to. That's definitely not any fucking Halo or Killzone Legendary Edition thing.
I'm pretty sure
which I do not have in my apartment at all right now that I'm looking at.
Of course
you don't.
Like
pre-order
that I could probably buy at any store right now for half the price.
Come on, you walk into any local EB Games, I'm sure somewhere sitting in the back room there's one of them.
That's what I'm saying, is that there's way too many of them out there, and I'm a sucker is basically what I'm getting at. Anywho,
we know.
Infamous 2 demo, it lived up to my hype. I'm probably not going to play it maybe one more time and just wait till the game comes out, but I'm excited. Like, that was our runner-up for Game of the Year 2 years ago, so.
Yeah, I am also excited.
Mm-hmm. That's good shit. Anything else you've been playing, Chris?
We talked about L.A. Noire, played some more Portal co-op with Novishin.
Oh, I'm playing some Portal co-op with Who is Craig from Retroids. We are burning through that shit. And I think the key to that, if you play with somebody, the person you're playing with, if you both play through the story and then go play co-op, it's still fun. You still got to figure shit out. But when shit just clicks, like there's so many instances where we'll be stuck. And all of a sudden we'll be like, oh my god, this is how you do it. And boom. Plays through it.
I want to know when you get to the last two rooms.
We're in the last. Is there only four chapters?
No, there's five.
Okay, we're in the fourth chapter.
Oh, really? So you got through the third one?
Oh yeah, we're done.
The last two rooms in the third chapter were just awesome.
I honestly can't remember what.
We'll talk about it later.
It was like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't remember what they were either. I've gone through that entire thing.
Nice. But they were good. Yeah, I agree with you when you were talking about it last week on the show. Like, you'll get through them and be like, that was so clever. Like, I can't believe, like, and it was so well designed. It's not to the point where you're like, what do I have to do? Oh my god, I have to look at my fact. Like, you would figure it out after a while, but be like, that is genius.
Yeah.
That is so.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I would have never, I mean, you did eventually think about it, but it's like, that is just not at all obvious to me, you know? So.
No, exactly. Great game.
That's good stuff. All right, cool. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's do some news.
News. Lots of news this week.
We do have a lot of news, actually.
Jeff, why don't you go first, man? You brought out a lot of stuff.
All right, cool. Well, number one, Witcher 2 has been announced for the Xbox 360.
Yes?
CD Projekt Red has come out and said that they designed their new engine that Witcher 2 was built on to be multi-platform. So they want to make sure every version is good, like really great. So they basically focused on the PC version, released it, and now the team's moved over to the 360 version. They want it to be out by the end of the year. There's no release date yet. Mm. But they said that it's going to be very comparable to the PC version. They didn't say in terms of like what type of comparison, whether it's like high settings, ultra settings, whatever. It would blow my mind, to be honest, if it's close to the settings on ultra, but whatever. Mm. Either way, this is good. It plays great with the controller. I'm happy it's coming to consoles. They did not make any kind of firm confirmation whether or not it's coming to PS3. All they said was they're focused on the PS 360 version right now, but the engine is multi-platform. So
if they're a team that has to focus on one version at a time, I wouldn't expect it coming to PS3 anytime soon.
No, I couldn't either.
I wouldn't expect it to PS3 at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because development for 360 and PC is so similar.
That's true.
If it's going to take them time to bring it to the 360, man, because you kind of have to like rejigger the whole thing from the ground up. he did not develop for multi-platform from the get-go, probably not happening. But who knows? Things have changed. A lot of it's easier to port a lot of stuff nowadays.
That's true.
Indeed. Also, remember that game, Aliens Colonial Marines, Gearbox? They announced it, I don't know, like 10 years ago?
Wasn't really
10 years ago. It was a while ago. But that game is still in development. Apparently they're going to be showing off at E3, and it's coming in spring 2012. There is a trailer online. You can pretty much find it wherever you want. It does look really cool. I'm really interested in this because Gearbox are a very good developer, and if you're not familiar with them, they did all the Brothers in Arms games, as well as, of course, Borderlands.
So, and they are doing Duke Nukem.
They did Duke Nukem, kind of. Yeah.
They picked that up from whatever mess state that was in.
Yeah, whatever. They basically took that turd and tried to polish it.
Yeah, they shined it a little bit.
And God damn it, they did it with a smile.
And then made fun of themselves while doing
That's
it.
That's right, exactly. It's one big farce at this point. It's a parody of itself.
Yeah, but seriously, good on them for taking that.
Oh, for sure, like, for sure. Like they're gonna sell. Like I'm probably gonna get that game just because it's Duke Nukem Forever. Mm-hmm. Like, why not?
All of us are.
Yeah,
and I'll probably never play it, but chances are I'm still gonna buy it.
Exactly. I can't wait for like the copies, like the physical copies of the game. With a picture taken beside like the pre-order receipt from like 1997.
That would be awesome.
Did you see the latest Penny Arcade?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's not the latest anymore, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Penny Arcade where they're talking about going through the attic to find his pre-order receipt for Duke Nukem. And he's like, I got to Kathy Ireland posters and parachute pants. And you're like, you're too far. Abort. You've gone too far.
Kathy Ireland. Awesome. Should be called Duke Nukem finally. I still need to fucking. Dude, a good game that a lot of us in this crew loved a lot, except for not important people. No, I'm kidding. Love you, buddy. I know you couldn't be here tonight. But Darksiders 2.
Yes!
It was announced a while ago, but official word on the game and a trailer has been released, of course, pre-E3.
Death.
You will now control Death.
Death looks like a badass, dude.
He does look like a badass.
He looks like a badass.
He does look really cool. And I love the fact that the art style, they brought back... what the hell is the guy's name? People are streaming
McFarlane?
Right now. No, not McFarlane. He's got a similar style to McFarlane, but...
Like every other comic artist that read McFarlane comics? My bad.
Oh, my God. No, this is going to... People are going to be screaming. I can't remember the guy's name, the artist. Oh, my God. I can't... Oh, man. Anyway, they brought him back to do all the art, like the art and all that kind of stuff, and it looks like Darksiders, better, and I'm happy they stuck with that. Because I was really afraid they're going to have like a big budget and be like, let's try to make it look more like realistic or something, or more like dark or whatever. But no, it looks like Darksiders, and really cool.
Good. Let's hear it for an original IP that actually did well enough to warrant a sequel.
Oh, for real. Yeah, definitely. Like, I don't think any of us, when this game was coming out, like, Chris, I don't think any of us were really looking forward to it until...
It wasn't really on our radar at all.
No, until a week or two before, maybe.
Especially considering the fact that it came out on the same day as Bayonetta. We're going to get Bayonetta. Darksiders, we'll just get it later.
Yeah.
And, you know, then all the reviews started coming through, and then we started seeing all the Zelda comparisons, and, you know, and that's when, you know, we all started going out and getting into it, and that was it. I mean, we were just... Done. It was a fantastic, fantastic game.
I was working at EB Games at the time, and Darksiders had the worst demo loop. It made it look like crap. And I was so completely surprised by what the end product was. I still haven't gotten around to actually playing it in full.
Oh, you need to, dude.
It's so good, man.
So behind on games.
Let me tell you something, man. The ending of that game is worse. Playing it through.
It is worth it, but at the same time, when what they show in this trailer, it kind of feels like I don't want to word this without sounding like a douche, but it seems like the ending to the first game isn't a good lead up to what the second game's going to be.
I would agree with that.
without spoiling anything.
I would agree with that.
Okay, cool. Because I'm hoping that the ending of that game, what it hints at, is in some way, shape, or form in this game. That would be really, really cool.
I would agree with that as well.
But either way, I am so excited.
Day one.
And, oh, hell, fuck yeah. Hell yeah, day one. I don't think there's a release date.
No, it's next year sometime, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm guessing it'll probably be early next year. Like, the first Darksiders was early 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing probably early 2012. But either way, look for it. If you haven't played the first one, get on the cheap right now. It's a great game.
It is, definitely.
3DS owners,
yes.
Chris and myself, there's going to be a reason to pick up our 3DS again on June 6th.
Oh, is that update finally hitting?
That is the update. It's finally going to hit.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to get an internet browser.
It is about time.
Virtual console, 3D classics, and DSiWare.
Does that mean I actually get to go out and buy Shantae finally?
Yeah. You can do all that kind of good shit.
Awesome.
Wait, so are they bringing the content currently available on DSiWare?
I hope so.
Well, I know some DSiWare games, if you've already bought them on your DSi, will not transfer over. I'm not sure if that's a licensing thing or not. They haven't really gone into it, but...
And even then, the transfer itself is a one-time thing.
Yeah, it could be something like that. And it's... Yeah. I'm really care. Like, the Virtual Console is what I really care about. I don't really care about the DSiWare stuff, but Virtual Console is pretty badass. And I would love to see a lot of those games. Even if it's just like crappy 3D, whatever. You know, character in foreground, background in background. Look kind of cool. Also, there's no point cards for this. We kind of touched on this before. It's actually going to be dollar values. So there's no more points cards. None of your points card works if you buy any like Wii points or DSi points. Do not work on the 3DS. It's strictly dollar amounts.
I wonder why we saw that card that was 3DS points then.
That is very weird because they came out and said now it's going to be dollar amounts, which is going to start at $1.99. So basically that's going to be the lowest price, and then it goes up from there, depending on the game.
Mm. Apparently the mad rampant success of the PlayStation Network has inspired them to go real money.
it's possible. But look for that June 6th.
Monday.
Anything else you want to actually? Yeah, the day you're listening to this, hopefully, is the day you'll be getting all that stuff on the DL. Now, before we go into the other stuff, Chris, is there anything else you wanted to add on to this at all that we have not mentioned?
I wanted to talk about the welcome back package.
Yeah, welcome back package.
So here's what happened to me. It's like I finally got back onto the PSN store, and so the way it works is you go to the welcome back package, and there's four. Like icons. There's like PS3 game number one, PS3 game number two, PSP game number one, PSP game number two. All right. Mm-hmm. You click on the PSP game number or PS3 game number one and you try and select a game and it says go to, you know, this item, which again says PS3 game number one and get it. And then you can come back and get a game. So I try and do that and it a request timeout. Try and do it again, and it says you cannot do this option right now. And so I back out and I try and select a game, and it says no, you have to do this. So I go and try it again. You cannot select that option right now. When I back all the way out to the store, PS3 game number one is removed from my list.
That's what I've been hearing. Everyone's been getting that.
That happened to me for both of the PS3 games. So I spent 25 minutes on the phone with Sony. Well, yeah. On hold.
Because they are probably flooded.
Yeah.
Which is the reason people are getting this in the first place, probably. Because everyone's like, oh, free
shit. Yeah, because everyone's trying to get it all at once.
I want to say something right now. I think I'm not going to name names, but I saw so many people, when this whole thing was happening, where Sony was putting their whole welcome back thing together, that were like, well, they don't owe us anything in the first place. I don't want anything from them, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't need this. Like, just the fact I just want to get PSN up when I'm running, that's all good and fine. You know, you'd be like, they didn't owe us anything. Some of those same people were the first to say, why can't I get my free shit? Why isn't that working? Which I'm like, really, guys? Like, really?
I don't... My problem is the way that they... See, my problem with it is from a programming perspective, because that should never happen.
Well, they should have been ready for it, is basically what you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
No. No, that's not what I'm saying. Regardless, I don't care if there's a timeout. I understand there's a lot of people hitting it. But the fact that it thinks it went through, but it didn't, that should never happen.
Yeah.
That should have been QA'd, and that should never happen.
Because that happened, like, I saw tweets all over today, people talking about it on Retroids. And if that actually goes through, like, if it all calms down and people go on there and try to get that shit and it still says that, they're just going to have their lines backed up all over again.
Yeah, for the next month.
I'm going to wait a couple weeks and be like, eh, see if there's anything worthwhile. I'm pretty sure I have most of the stuff that's on there. But
yeah, just don't end up at the deadline where you can't get that stuff anymore.
Yeah. Oh, also, I want to say, do you know how they give them away the month free of PSN Plus or whatever?
Yes.
It's an automatic default to resubscribe at the end of that month. It automatically defaults, and I think you have to put in a credit card or whatever. It automatically defaults to resubscribe. So basically, they'll charge your shit unless you change that to no. So, but a lot of people will miss that because they don't read the user agreement or whatever.
Nobody remembers to opt out.
Yeah, exactly. Which goes back to when we were saying the whole thing is like, that's kind of a douchey thing to do. Like, let's get
if they made it automatically resubscribe, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah, they did.
That's kind of backfire on them. That is.
It will for some. Well, you know what? If people are like that and they're gonna miss that or whatever, then you know what? They deserve it. But whatever.
Fine print.
I'm just happy they're back online now, and
yeah,
hopefully they don't get attacked again.
Well,
go down.
I know we're kind of on the news section. This isn't really video game news, but today Sony Pictures was hit.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought it was Sony Music.
Pictures. And I think it's both.
I don't know. I go by CBC's website because it's the only website I can browse from work.
Yeah, I saw Pictures as well.
Mm-hmm. It's I don't know how true this is, but basically the group that hacked it, same group that hacked PBS recently and put up a story about Tupac being alive and well.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. He's chilling with Elvis, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what
Biggie,
PBS said. I saw it on the news.
They're going to Biggie's party
true.
Next week or something.
So this group basically posted the details that they had taken, like all the user details, online in public forum. And apparently media sites have used that information to contact the people and verify that, yes, these are real names, real phone numbers, real email addresses that were taken from Sony Pictures. It was basically just like their opt-in marketing stuff. And the group is claiming that that information was kept unencrypted, basically like plain text file.
Well,
get through the security
I don't,
what they claim is the easiest way possible.
I don't see an issue there. Name, address, and phone number and stuff like that, that's usually never encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's social security number, credit card numbers,
passwords.
Anything that has
passwords
to do with passwords
are
encrypted for identity purposes.
Right.
But, you could probably search on the internet for about 5 minutes and find the address of anybody. You know,
no, it's true.
Yellowpages or whitepages.com or something, and you go find the address of anybody.
And don't forget, this is what the group is alleging. I mean, I haven't seen a response from Sony. And obviously, if it was indeed unencrypted, we probably wouldn't see a response from Sony. But, you know, part of me wants to put the benefit of the doubt that, you know, this information was a bit better protected. And it's really just the goal of this group to make Sony look like fools at this
point.
Yeah,
nothing is foolproof. No security system is foolproof.
Exactly. But they're basically alleging that their main issue is not that it was hackable, but that it was hackable through the easiest available means.
That might be true. I mean, like, nothing is hackable, nothing's like foolproof, nothing's like can get in. But there's a difference between having very low security and very high security.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, think about what Sony has dealt with right now. I mean, if they had the same security system across all of their branches, and then PSN got hit, well, they just spent a month getting PSN up to speed. They haven't been able to get all the rest of their branches up to speed.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and they're all different business divisions, probably with their own individual security departments, if any. And no, corporate structures are nightmares. If anyone thinks, oh, Sony got hacked, they should have all been better. I mean, they probably should have been better in the first place, but come on.
Yeah, I'm not mad at Sony. I think the hackers are just being fucking fucktards about it, and they need to just fuck off. Seriously.
Yeah, I don't think they will. They're too. This is their claim to fame right now, and it's like, look what we're doing.
Oh, dude, they're getting media attention for their bullshit.
Exactly. They're getting exactly what they fucking want, and it's fucking terrible. And they, as much as they say, like, we're – I don't – like, no, let's not talk about this anymore. Wait, no. So it's like
the thing is, the more we talk about it, the more attention we give them.
Exactly, and I think it's they're fucking assholes, and what they say they're standing up for is not what they're actually standing up for. And
they're not standing up for anything. All they're doing is just yanking their own chain. They're doing the best they can to make themselves look cool. And they're just a bunch of fucking idiots that they are internet terrorists. And
yeah, that's exactly what they are.
Fucking Jihad is Osama bin Laden. So Obama, so find him and shoot his ass.
10 years from now, we'll shoot him in a Hawaii compound.
That would be great. I would be happy. I'm just kidding. But seriously, it's out of hand. It's ridiculous now.
Well, hey, my PlayStation Network is back online. My password is like 24 characters long. All is well. All is right with the world now.
There you go. I changed my password to something I've never used before, and now I don't remember it. So
that's
expected. Yeah. I just took two of my common passwords and put them back to back.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. You guys want to talk about Konami?
Yeah, well, we'll say, like, we had the whole Konami event in Toronto.
Who's Konami?
Konami. You know, they're a developer. They make some games. They, you know, they make like your games. Solids. The Castle
like Frogger?
Days. Yeah, Frogger, yeah. But yeah, you know, we got an invite to go to this thing in Toronto. And I was like, well, I'm gonna see if, you know, I don't want to go by myself, because you guys are in Atlanta, of course. Well, not you guys, well, Chris, Jason, Travis. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna ring up Dave, because Dave's done work for like Game Crashers. He's done for like PS Nation. He's done stuff for like PS Stores, stuff like that, like freelancing all over the place. So I was like, hey, he's close. I'm gonna send him a shout out. Let's do this. So we're supposed to go yesterday. I couldn't go. I was sick. Dave went. So Dave, how'd it go? First of all, it's at one of my favorite bars in all of Toronto.
It's a pretty awesome venue. This is the Real Sports Bar downtown Toronto. Right across from our Canada Center. I walk in the place and everyone's baller, like business suits, collars, women with, blazers and mini skirts. And I'm thinking I'm violating some form of dress code walking into the place.
It's not your typical sports bar.
It's not, no, because it's a pretty big business area around there. Even though it's right next to the sports arena, it's basically a business crowd that hangs out there. And this is a bar with like a 30-inch TV screen over its main bar, over two floors, and the upper area actually has this giant open section to allow that screen to go between it, so both floors can see it. It's
and
massive.
Every booth in there has their own like HDTV.
You can't
crazy.
Go 2 feet without seeing another TV with some sporting event. I mean, they were showing rugby. I've never seen rugby on anywhere, and they were showing rugby. So
you're like, I'm sitting with where's the Konami event?
Yeah, that said, like, rugby games, where the hell are they? On Xbox Live, indie games, apparently, but that's another story. So, I walk into the event, and they've got a pretty, it's a kind of a small setup for a big bar. But, you know, they've got free food, open bar already. I'm happy. All their games are great. Their E3 is awesome. I'm drinking up a storm. But basically, they're just, you know, demoing some of their existing games. And we're waiting for the supposed live E3, pre-E3 press conference. Little video thing. And so, you know, it's having a good time, you know, chatting it up with some of the local Toronto media. And, you know, finally the video starts. And then it's just like games. And so is that what we want to talk about? We want to talk about what we saw?
Yeah. What games?
I mean, there's a bunch of...
I'm sure we've heard about a lot of them, but let's talk about them.
I mean, if anyone was even looking at their Twitter feed last night, I mean, I was hearing about the games before. Yeah, I even got to see them because apparently the video ended up online around the same time that they were showing it to everybody. But, I mean, right away they start off, they hit us with the Konami code. I mean, it's Konami. Of course they're going to reference it. President of Konami comes on. And first thing I actually thought was pretty nice is that he thanked everyone for the support that they've offered Japan. in their time of
dealing
with their disaster. Because it's very easy to forget coming into E3 that a lot of these Japanese companies have struggled to, you know, to stay up, to recover from that disaster, and to, you know, to come to E3 and bring their A game after surviving something like that. That's impressive, you know. And very casually, just kind of mentioned, we've got two major franchises, Castlevania and Frogger. You can expect a downloadable title for them sometime in the coming year.
Oh, cool.
No other details, just bam.
Well, I heard they were doing Frogger for 3DS.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they've done 3D Froggers before, like, not like three-dimensional popping out of the screen, but I mean like polygonally rendered Froggers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I played them on the original PlayStation, so.
Yeah, exactly. So not surprised in that respect, but again, no details, no platforms, just names on a screen. These are coming. If I recall correctly, the next thing it rolled into was a presentation on Metal Gear Solid 3DS, or Metal Gear Solid 3D, Snake Eater, whatever you want to call it. And so basically we got a good 10 minutes of a Japanese developer being dubbed over as he talked about the game, which is always engaging. They're so very polite, even when translated. They're all very, you know, I really hope you play my game. I hope you enjoy it. We really think you'll like this. I hope to hear what you think of this game. So the big things they were showing off with MGS 3D is integration with some of the 3DS's other features. I mean, 3D is one thing. You know, they say they chose Metal Gear Solid 3 because the lush jungle environment offered more opportunities to display cool depth of field effects and to have, you know, interesting elements in the foreground and background, as opposed to other Metal Gears where there's, you know, a lot of interior stuff and you don't get as much of that detail. You know, they show stuff like first person crawling through the grass, and they've got like all the grass and the different plants rendered, and just, you know, different cutscene angles that really take advantage of depth. You know, shots, you know, where Snake is hanging off of a cliff and you see something fall all the way down. And of course, we're not seeing this in 3D, so we don't get the full effect, but you kind of get the idea. You know, when you watch a 3D movie in 2D and you can kind of see those points where, okay, that would
be in 3D, yeah.
Exactly. You know, when the thing comes right out at the screen at you, it's like, okay, I see what that would look like in 3D, even though I'm not seeing it that way. So same deal. And the other two features they were really promoting is photo camo. Anyone who's played Metal Gear Solid 3 knows that the camouflage system was it was a part of it, you know, where you could choose different camouflage patterns, and they offer different benefits.
Yeah, it was annoying as shit.
Yeah, so to improve it even further, you can now take a picture with a 3DS camera and use it as a camouflage texture. So if you want it to be camouflaged as your cock, my God, they have you supported.
Awesome. Do I have to hit start and go through a menu and select that cock and then put it on me and then go back into the gameplay? Then once I get onto grass, turn it to my green colored cock, go into the menu.
You know, when they showed it in the demo video, they showed it. It is like the worst abstraction ever because they don't even show you taking the picture inside the game itself. They show you taking the picture, and then they close the 3DS, and they do a little icon on the screen that's supposed to represent that the photo is transferring to the game. But you know they're just using that to represent going through a menu, clicking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and like, so you can just camouflage yourself as flowers and look completely out of place in this jungle environment. And so the other thing, which sounds like absolute genius, is they are taking advantage of the gyroscopic sensor. So certain elements where, you know, Snake has to walk a very fine path.
Like
all
the look like an idiot while on the subway sensor.
Yes. And also, you know, take that 3DS with its very limited viewing angle and move it around. So mm-hmm. that you can completely
you
destroy
literally
got to
stand
angle.
Up and pivot.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely,
exactly. So, you know, they're big on this idea of, you know, like having to be very careful with the movements. So not making big exaggerated movements, but having to keep it, you know, very steady with small movements and stuff like that, because moving it too far could cause Snake to fall off a ledge or something like that. So it was interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, they're gimmicking it up just like any early Nintendo handheld. I mean, let's remember like all the DS games that came out within the first couple years, especially when they were similar to console games. And they just, you know, everything is touchscreen and microphone and all stuff. Remember Phantom Hourglass and, oh, let's shout at the DS to stun a monster, you know?
Yeah.
Just real gimmicky stuff like that, so.
And so that's sort of the main video that, because I honestly, like, they kind of advertised that, like you, I thought it was going to be, like, a live thing. Mm-hmm. I knew they were doing it from different cities and stuff, but I thought it was going to be, like a live thing, like, whatever, but it obviously wasn't.
It was the live action of hitting play on a said video.
So outside of the actual video, they didn't really present anything to you that was...
No, and that's the thing. We got to enjoy the video in the comfort of a nice bar with free food and free booze.
Nice.
So the fortunate thing is, like I don't bring anything new. You know, they made a big deal that, hey, nothing's got an embargo. You can talk about it as soon as this event is over. But honestly, like I said, I was tweeting as I was watching, but there were games that I hadn't seen yet that people were talking about. And I knew it was like, well, they're Konami games. Obviously, they're going to be up later.
Oh, no, you have seen them, but years ago.
And yeah.
And we'll get into that.
Theme of the night, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that'll be next. The next thing, if I remember correctly, the next thing they talked about was Never Dead, which is probably the only real original title in the lineup. Have you seen anything about Never Dead? You kind of an idea of what kind of game
I heard it is? I think it was announced before this. I'm pretty sure it was kind of hinted at. Maybe
it was. There's a big deal about who's producing it. I can't remember off the top of my head why that particular individual is important, but whatever. It looks pretty neat. It's a third person shooter. Kind of looks like it has the same level of crazy as Vanquished. Not so much in the speed aspect, but it's a bit more fantasy. There's demons and stuff like that.
Which is kind of weird. Sorry for interrupting, because apparently Platinum has picked up the Metal Gear Rising development.
I heard that was just a rumor and, that Kojima actually shot it down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that is a rumor because they did talk about Rising during Kojima Productions portion. And they did assure us that it is still in production.
Well, that's good.
And that it may come out, but they couldn't give a date.
It may be out sometime.
Well, that's one thing, okay, let's just get into it, because, like, I mean, they show it. Okay, we'll finish off with Never Dead first, because, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so Never Dead is you take a third-person shooter, take the crazy of Vanquished, take the demons of Devil May Cry, and then add the oh-so-fun self-dismemberment of Death Becomes Her. If anyone remembers what that movie is.
I never saw it. I remember that, yeah.
So basically the premise of Never Dead is that the main character is immortal. He was cursed by a demon lord many years ago. He can't die, even if he gets blown apart. And apparently this happens to him in the game quite often. The dude will lose arms, he will lose legs, he will lose his head. And he recovers from these wounds. In fact, it looks like
it's basically the fucking Jason mode from the beginning.
Exactly. Like, I'm not even sure how you lose the game if you can't die. But you know, they seem to have some mechanics around it. One part of the video, the guy took his own head off, and it was seen like rolling around as if he could control it. So I don't know if there's some actual like gameplay reason for doing that, but it did seem like it. The story just seems like the typical Japanese crazy. Dude flirts with a girl and she's like, if you touch me again like that, I'll kill you like this. And of course she, you know, shoots him in the chest with a shotgun.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. I saw that in Men in Black 2.
So it did look interesting. I'm kind of excited for it, if only just to see what it ends up becoming. Because the whole Immortal mechanic could be something new. If they actually do something interesting with it, other than, oh, look, my arm
can come
off.
His leg. Go.
Okay, what came after that? Oh, after that was Silent Hill.
Yeah, the new one.
Well, here's the thing, because it's not just one thing. I mean, they were basically pimping the movie, which is being filmed in Toronto right now. They showed a clip from Downpour. And for a game that draws comparisons to Heavy Rain, naming it Downpour, probably the douchiest fucking thing they could have done.
Silent Hill Thunderstorm.
So they also announced, without giving many details, that there would be a Silent Hill HD collection.
Yeah. Which would probably be Silent Hill 1, 2, and... would 3 be included in that?
I have no idea. I mean, the thing is, if it was a PS2 game, then it's probably on there. Because I don't think they can do the HD remakes of the PS1 games without making an entirely new game. And they also mentioned that there is a Silent Hill exclusive to the NGP called Silent Hill Book of Memories.
That's cool.
About it.
All right.
Was there, if I recall, was there an exclusive PSP Silent Hill announced in E3 or two ago that just kind of fell off the map?
I don't remember that happening.
The only I can think of is that one that was the Wii port that came to PSP.
Yeah, but see, that actually came out.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of the Resident Evil PSP. Anyway. Yeah, I'm thinking of Resident Evil PSP in terms of like announced projects that just suddenly disappeared and no one knows what the hell happened to them. Because I thought the Book of Memories was maybe, you know, the result of that project, just, you know, put up to another platform. Seems I'm wrong about that. What was next? So we saw Silent Hill. That looked interesting. Downpour actually does look pretty good. It looks very cinematic. Got a very Alan Wake-ish vibe off of it. Just because, you know, a lot of, foresty locations. It seems to be a bit more rural than your average Silent Hill, but I mean, it's still got like the crazy
jerky animation and
The facial animation looked okay. It wasn't as bad as I've seen some other games get. It kind of looked a little smoother than Heavy Rain in terms of the facial animation, but I don't know. There's something weird about the faces in Heavy Rain, anyways.
Well, they basically went onto that to announce a bunch of HD collections. So Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's when the Kojima Productions portion began. Mm-hmm. There's a script, you know, there's a little skit from Mega 64. Boil it down to a nutshell. Metal Gear HD Collection, which is Metal Gears 2, 3, and Peace Walker. Zone of the Enders.
Oh, so 1 isn't a part of that.
No, because, and here's the thing. Number 1 was a PlayStation 1 game. So you go and remake the PS1 version, you have to remake an entirely new game.
Well, no, you just remake the GameCube one, you put it in HD.
That's just it, yeah. See, they could have remade the GameCube version, and I don't know why they didn't. I don't know if it's some weird licensing, or because that was a Silicon Knights joint and they don't want to give Dennis Dyack any money. Like, I don't know. So, 2, 3, and Peace Walker. And, we'll get into the Peace Walker thing because that comes into another big announcement. Debatably big. Then there's also the Zone of the Enders collection.
Which, to me, was the most, I wasn't surprised by it, but I've never played the Zone of Enders games. And I'm happy they did this because it's hard to find Zone of Enders games these days. 1 or 2.
Yep.
And they're pretty rare. And I am happy for this.
Yeah, same here. Because I've always heard about, you know, their good games, but never had a PS2. I'm not about to go and get a PS2 to play them, and I'm not about to go try find those games. So this is a perfect opportunity for someone like myself to experience that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the next? Oh, okay. The other big thing is that these aren't just going to be HD remakes for the PlayStation. They're also coming to Xbox 360.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the most interesting thing out of the HD collection, announcement. Because for the most part, all these HD remakes have been PlayStation exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So
and the games that they're making for these remakes was Snake Eater exclusive?
No, Snake Eater was not exclusive, and nor was 2.
Snake Eater was only on PS2.
No. Snake Eater had an Xbox version. No, Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence.
No. Metal Gear Solid 3 was never on Xbox.
Jeff, you want to put money on that?
I will definitely put money on that. I will 100% put money on that.
I am looking it up right now.
Metal Gear Solid 3 never came out on Xbox.
Okay.
Let's see.
Looking at it live, folks. Don't ever bet with me, David. Haven't you learned your lesson?
What do you mean? I've never bet against you before.
Platforms, yeah. PS2, upcoming, PS3, 3DS, and Xbox 360.
Oh, you're right. It was Metal Gear Solid 2 that
came out as Subsistence.
Subsistence came out, but was not on Xbox. Okay.
I will sip my wine.
Would you like some cheese with that wine?
I would, actually.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thoroughly embarrassed, let us continue. So,
moral of the story is don't bet it with Jeff.
Yeah. Always bet on black. Oh, wait. Also Jeff. So, Kojima took a lot of time to talk about his big baby, which is something, it's called transfaring. Emphasis on R.
Which basically is cross-platform save games.
Yep, it's exactly what it is. The idea being that you have the exact same game on a home console and a portable console, and it's a simple way to take your save file, send it to the portable console when you leave, and then send it back to the home console when you return. It does, you know, just simple things like if you take your PS3 save, you transfer it to the PSP, it locks it on the PS3 so you don't go messing around with version inconsistencies and whatever. But of course, this means that it now requires the same game on both platforms. And my big question, which I didn't really get answered, is am I having to buy the same game twice for this to even matter? They're putting the logo for transferring on games that support it. One thing I noticed is that the HD collections of Metal Gear Solid and Zone of the Enders both have that logo. Metal Gear Solid collection, we know why that supports transferring, because Peace Walker is an HD on PS3 and it has a PSP version. So that's the main game. That's the first game that's going to support that transfer. Who knows if we'll ever get a portable version of Metal Gear Solids 2 and 3.
Yeah, I think, honestly, this is going to be one of those things that they're pushing that isn't going to happen too often.
No,
yeah.
I agree.
It's going to be back when Microsoft came out with the whole Xbox Live, Vista Live, and they were going to come out with a phone thing where you can, decorate your fucking Forza cars on your phone and then put it onto your 360, which never happened. Mm-hmm. That's what I got the vibe from this. It's going to be very few games that... Because you have to have the game on... They're not going to do it from 360 to NGP.
No. And that's happen. The thing. The 360 versions of the game cases don't have the transfer anymore.
Exactly. Logo. Yeah.
So, they've talked about different platforms, but their platforms are PS3, PS2... Which they, how do you say PS2 in terms of transferring? I have no idea.
Yeah.
And NGP. And I'm assuming what they mean by PS2 is these HD remakes, because they are technically PS2 software being upconverted and redone for PS3. I hope that's what they mean.
That's not what they said, though. Jima said in the interviews, he said these are not just ports of the PS2 versions or PSP versions.
True.
He said these are built from the ground up, which I'm not going to take at face value. I'll take that with a grain of salt, because if they're going to put that effort in, they'd put in more assets, more polygons. Mm-hmm. They'd make the game look better. I think these are going to be literally what's on the PS2 with HD. Mm. It's going to be something you get on Xbox.
Whatever it is, it's definitely not from the ground up.
Oh, God, no, for sure. if they are putting that much time into this, this is where, I'm just going to get to it right now, is this would bug me a lot about this presser, is that they focus a lot on fan service. I'll admit that. People want these HD collections. They want Zone of Enders again in HD. People mm-hmm. want that stuff. That is good. If they're putting this, if they were to put that much effort into what he said on these remakes, why could they not show 10 seconds of gameplay of Metal Gear Rising mm-hmm. or Kojima's new game he's been working on?
And outside that's the of the thing. Engine. Yeah, I mean, he shows an engine. He demos how beautiful it looks, but every engine looks beautiful.
Every engine
in
looks,
a limited
one
demo.
Character, yeah, and is one character walking around a foresty environment mm-hmm. with two static. A static horse and a static dude sitting next to it.
Yeah, when you don't have to worry about collision or game mechanics, juggling like health stats and all that. Yeah, of course mm-hmm. it's going to run beautifully.
Exactly.
And just come out and basically say, so what are you doing with Rising? We're still working on it.
Yeah, that's basically, and they showed concept art.
Yeah.
Like, guys, you guys showed somewhat of the game running last year at E3. What happened?
Yeah, something is wrong. Yeah. Something is fundamentally wrong with Metal Gear Rising, and that's why they're not showing it. And from what I understand, it's not on their list for E3 either.
No, it's not. They're not going to be at E3, so I don't know.
It's not coming anytime soon. To show it at E3 now would be ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. And to speed this up a little bit, because we're running pretty late, is they ended up the whole thing with a teaser of Contra.
Not even a teaser. They give you
the C,
and they say they're coming.
Yeah. Why didn't show something? Like, okay.
That would have been something to focus on.
Yes. Something like that. Something new. Something revitalized the series. Which, mm-hmm. what's it called, was definitely a Contra game. Hard Corps.
Yeah. Which is, it's Hard obvious why that wasn't called a Contra game. Because they
I have no idea. Because this is what scares me. Because what is this Contra going to be? Because
if it's not Hard Corps.
Yeah. And if it's not going to be a side-scrolling, hand-drawn, something like that, action shooter. Are we going to be excited? I know Chris wouldn't be if it comes out to be a third-person, fucking shooter.
Yeah, I probably won't be nearly as interested.
Yeah, so it kind of scares me. They made it this big thing. They ended it with it, here's a C. But, okay. No. Show us something. Don't focus on old stuff, which, again, I can't blame people for getting excited for it. I'm excited for a couple of those. I'll probably buy the HD collections. But a lot of people were being oh, my God. Thank you, Konami. You made my year. You made my gaming life. I'm why for saying they're bringing out games that you played 5-10 years ago?
Dude, nostalgia. Some people, that's the trigger. And the fact of the matter is that those HD collections do well.
Oh yeah, they definitely do.
And I'm sure it's a lot less work for a studio to do. So I mean,
oh yeah,
when you look at it,
the return is awesome.
No doubt. Yeah. They're not building from the ground up. The thing is that. Kojima, ever since Metal Gear Solid 4, nothing has come out of that studio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, what's it called?
Peace Walker, yes.
Which, again,
which, you know what, to me, doesn't fucking matter until I can play it with two thumbsticks.
Yeah, dude, yeah, same here. I couldn't play that thing.
I kind of want the HD collection for that. Also, I never played 3, and I'd rather play it on my PS3 than on the 3DS.
100%, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. 3DS might be cool. 3D is cool, man. Come on.
Yeah,
but then, I want to pick it up every once in a while.
But you don't.
How you doing on your charging station you've been on for fucking 4.5 weeks? You like that? Oh, yeah. You're comfortable, aren't you?
Mine hasn't moved in a few days either.
But I don't know. I'm happy they did that. It's kind of cool. It got some good pre-E3 hype. Which is cool. And they did do a lot of fans. A lot of people are happy. I'm happy. We're all happy, I think, that what they announced. We just wish there was more new stuff, that's going to be on the current gen stuff, something original. Especially from, Kojima's, he's considered one of the masterminds of, video game innovation. And,
Yeah, but so was Miyamoto once.
Yeah.
And then he does Wii Music, I think
Wii Music
was
a quality product. It sold almost nothing.
Yeah, which is surprising for something generic and Wii and hey, Wii Music?
I honestly think Kojima's just getting burned out. I think he's wanting to focus more on projects that interest him.
Yeah, I think so too.
And where he's being pushed with his, even though he's got his own studio, he's still pretty much Konami's man.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It really feels to me like he wants to be doing other things.
And you can tell even by the interview, because they did the whole skit thing with Ryan McDonald, who was like formerly from 1UP and EGM and all that stuff. Like the interview with the two of them sitting there, even some of that dialogue was just awkward, like awkward pauses. And so I know there's a translator, but even still, it was still kind of weird. And he never really answered questions like, when is this game going to be? I was like, all I can tell you is it's going to be multi-platform and it's going to involve transferring. Okay, awesome. That doesn't tell us anything.
So all you can tell us is absolutely nothing. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I think the weird thing is the biggest things I'm taking from it are the little things I'm inferring from things like seeing a Transfaring logo on the Zone of the Enders HD collection.
Yeah, I don't – yeah.
You know? Well, think about it.
Transfaring doesn't interest me whatsoever.
Well, but think about it. If there's a Transfaring logo, that means there's got to be a portable version of that game. Or
yeah,
maybe.
See, totally.
I think you guys
are
looking into that a little too much, because I don't see why they wouldn't be able to have, like, even if it was like an app or something like that, that you download that on your PS3 that converts the save data into a memory card block, and it puts it on a memory card for you, and you stick it in your PS2.
Yeah, but either way. Oh, so like for the older versions of the game? Okay.
Yeah, because that's what I want to do. I want to transfer from home console to home console.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, it's a way to put
it is a glorious SD.
You know what that shit is, dude? Dave, you know what that shit is? That's called a bullet point. It's a bullet
point. That is true.
That is a
that
bullet
is
point. And
you
know what? The more
box.
Bullet points, the better your game looks on paper.
That's true.
The better it looks to the marketing team.
That's right. Marketing, they don't
I'm
know
I'm sick of looking at this in fucking 1080p. You know what? I want to throw this on my SD TV.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going upstairs to put this on my CRT. I'm going to transfer it over to my memory card and bring it upstairs.
Nostalgia.
Fuck this 60 frames a second bullshit. I want to go back to 23.
I want to play this game on my PS2 that I have to be running upside down.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the PS1s you had to do that with.
Probably is, but way. I'm being real nostalgic now.
All right. Can we have anything else we want to say before we wrap up with that?
That
I don't think
Konami.
So.
Oh, I forgot to mention Pro Evo Soccer, but really, that's how much of an impact that made.
Forgot to.
Hey, look, there's another Pro Evo Soccer. All right, let's take a break.
Oh, cool. and Glee.
Yeah. No, there was nothing Glee in that press conference.
No,
gives a shit. All right.
Awesome.
For real. Let's take a break.
All right. Let's take a break 2 hours later.
We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about games that have redefined genres for us, and then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. It's time for Wake Up.
Bye.
And welcome back. Didn't make
it. You welcome back.
Thank you.
I fucked that up.
No, that's okay. Roll that fucking shit up here.
We roll with it anyway.
Exactly.
So you have to understand, if it's you say late. Something and we keep going like nothing happened, I can just silence your track. It's not a big deal.
It's true.
That's the advantage of using multiple tracks.
Tisk tisk.
I know. But we're going to keep going because it's fun. Anyway, we are talking about games that have redefined genres for us.
And, yeah, we
are. Got some...
Mario 64, end of discussion. Okay, cool.
Mario 64, GoldenEye, and we'll figure out something else. Final Fantasy VII. No. So let's start with some emails.
And yeah, let's do
with
that.
With Travis out, Mr. Chorty and I are going to switch back and forth.
Yeah, I am.
Jeff, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I'll start with the first one. It's a nice and short email. This one comes up. He says, pretty good question of the week. Sorry I bashed last week's one so badly.
Oh, this must be Sean.
this is definitely from Sean Recubito. He says, I have to say that the original Crackdown redefined the open world genre for me. Okay. I have played the GTA games before, but they simply didn't do much for me. But give me superpowers, and the ability to jump half a mile at a time, and I'm sold. Halo Combat Evolved redefined first-person shooters for me. The last one I really enjoyed before Halo was GoldenEye on the N64, but ever since that, I just can't get enough of first-person shooters. That's all I can really think of for this week. Keep up the good work, Sean Recubito.
Thank you, Sean. I can definitely see Halo being a recurring theme during this.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, that and I would say GoldenEye too. I would say
I was going to say he basically mentioned two in that same one because I think GoldenEye redefined the first-person shooters on consoles, and then Halo did the same thing.
Well, that's it's not really redefining the genre itself. I mean, shooters are still shooters. It's redefining how we approach it and how we received it.
Yeah,
really.
GoldenEye did the biggest thing about GoldenEye for me was the split screen, the four-player split screen.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that changed everything. And then Halo did that too. But I mean, Halo threw in the dual stick and they actually
It was open
world. Probably the two biggest steps in advancing the way we look at shooters today, I would say.
For sure. I definitely agree with that. And the one he said before, GTA is... Well, I actually am a little bit surprised by Crackdown, actually.
I'm not, because it's just like what you and I said earlier. It's like there's something about the ease of getting around in that type of situation. And Crackdown was awesome, and it made it...
Did it redefine the genre, though? Because there's not so many games...
For him, it might have.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can't think of an open-world game that I beat... Before Crackdown.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not saying I disagree or agree with them, but I agree with the fact that, like you said, it's the movement that does it for me. Like, I beat Infamous. I didn't beat GTA 4, GTA 3, Vice City, San Andreas. Came close to beating Prototype and beat Crackdown 1.
Crackdown and Infamous, and that's it.
Yeah, and the only thing that those things have in common is the ability to get around the world. Yeah, the world really quickly and superpowers, so...
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like I would say that I'm exactly the same boat, Jeff. Crackdown is like the first open world game that I ever beat, and then there was Infamous.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Crackdown 2 is junk. However, Infamous 2 is not. So on Tuesday, I'm going to have that in my hands, and I'm going to snuggle on it and then play it. All right, this one is from Space Brother. He says, "Sup, Indus." This is Space Brother. I admit I had trouble coming up with the answers immediately for this one, but I found it easier to ask myself what game made me love a particular genre. That's fair. There are honestly so many genres out there, so I will just name the ones that I like. When it comes to 3D platformers, I find myself thinking of Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Okay.
Which combined the mechanics that worked in Mario 64 with a new water versus slime mechanic. That made the gameplay both challenging and unique. While Mario 64 was a great game, I think Super Mario Sunshine still is what made me love the genre. RPG?
Okay. I did not expect to see that.
But yeah, I didn't either. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a one-of right there.
Yeah.
RPG?
The original.
Mass Effect.
Oh.
They are all damn good, in my opinion.
Mine was for RPG, Mass Effect. Well, actually, mine wasn't Mass Effect. It was going to be KOTOR. which I think kind of leads into Mass Effect.
I think it does, yeah. too. I think that's a good way to put it.
You can see a lot of its roots there.
See, and that's the thing. It's like I almost count them as like different genres now. Like there's Western and
Japanese.
And Japanese, because they are so different. They really are so different. Yeah. I mean, the evolution of the RPG just went two completely different directions, and you can make arguments for both on what's good about each one. So,
mm-hmm.
MMOs, RuneScape. Don't hate.
Dave, I just hear him in the closet laughing. You're not getting out!
Please, sir.
For 3D fighters, the Soul Calibur series will always be the game I come back to.
I will agree with that. Like, as much as, like, Tekken and Virtual Fighter... Well, Virtual Fighter was probably the first one to bring in the 3D, and then, like, Tekken, but... Soul Calibur, I think, was the one that made me, like, be like, oh, this is fucking awesome. Like, on Dreamcast. I didn't really...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I get you.
Agree with that. Yeah, I got that.
Kart racing. Mario Kart.
Mod Nation...
Mod Nation loading.
What else can you say for that category? That kind of defines... It doesn't redefine the category. It is the category.
That is true. Actually,
What is the only non-Mario Kart game that comes close? I mean, there was the Sonic one that came out recently, and that was awesome, and that was it.
Sonic Super Friends Racing.
And I mean, I'll be honest with you, Mod Nation Racers was a fucking great idea, and it is a fun-ass game, but I'd be damned if I sit there and wait a minute in between each fucking loading screen.
It has issues, to say the least.
Yeah. Okay, Street Racing, Need for Speed, Open World, Red Faction Guerrilla, God, that's interesting. God Sim, I didn't realize that was a genre.
SimCity
2000. Well, he has a question mark there, he's like, God Sim?
God Sim is just, you know, it's a neglected genre, but man, it used to be big. You look at Populous and The Sims.
Oh, God.
And
fun. Totally.
You know what I loved? Did you guys ever play Sim Ant?
Oh, yeah.
I heard of it. I never played it.
That game was fucking awesome.
It was awesome. It was pretty cool.
I loved that game.
Damn.
2D platformer, The Lion King. Wow.
Oh,
pretty.
Yes, on SNES.
He actually says SNES, yes.
He does.
Who got the error?
That would be me. And unfortunately, it was while I was talking, so I don't know if I can silence that. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed that error noise.
No worries. I'm trying to think why he'd pick Lion King over Aladdin.
Rather than a Genesis, right?
Well, the one on Genesis is way better than the one on Super Nintendo, but I don't know if the Lion King was the same on either one. I can't remember. But Lion King was fucking awesome. That was back when, like, Disney... Actually, even today, Disney tie-in games are still pretty... I don't want to say decent. Playable. I don't know. But back then, it was a Disney-licensed game that was a side-scrolling platformer. Chances are it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Usually.
I would agree. Hunting simulator.
Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt for the win.
Again, games that define rather than redefine.
That's right.
That is true.
Weird fucking game that makes you get high without drugs. Katamari Damacy.
I was going to say it's got to be that or like Rez or something.
Mm-hmm. First person shooter, War Rock. I've never heard of that.
Oh, that does sound familiar.
No idea.
Yeah, Rock. That sounds that. Very... I'm going to have to look this up after this, because that sounds very, very familiar.
Okay.
Google that shit.
Yeah.
Real-time strategy. Warhammer 40K, bitches. Where do you think
really?
I came up with the name Space Brother?
I guess that's a Warhammer guess so. Reference.
Yeah, Warhammer 40K. I mean, they've been more squad-focused, but really, they kind of follow in the tradition that Warcraft 3 laid down.
Really?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm totally...
Yeah, I don't do real-time strategy.
The
so
genre,
I'm,
yeah. I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I consider myself
ignorant.
In
the absence
in
of any other
subject.
Expert.
Yeah, there you go.
So...
2D Fighter, Street Fight...
Wait, you missed
Street
one.
Fighter
you missed one.
Two. Oh, I did, didn't I? Sports game. Blank.
You know what? I would say NBA Jam. Because the reason why I would say NBA Jam is because
that's the one sports game that anybody could play.
And that spun off an entire spinoff of like NBA Jam, like the Arch Rivals spun off NBA Jam, NFL Blitz, like Mutant League, whatever, like any of those like you know, arcadey sports games.
Yeah.
So I'll fill that. I'll fill in that blank. There you go.
All right. Cool. I don't know what category it would be put into, but Smash Brothers is a fucking awesome game. Another one that I can't categorize is Minecraft.
Well, then you skipped over another one, you douche. 2D Fighter, Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 2.
I said that, and then you skipped over one.
Oh, we didn't talk about
Smash Brothers would be a 2D fighter.
Technically, yeah, it is. I would say it's a 2D fighter.
Yeah, but it sucks.
It's more of a party game fighter than anything else. Anyway,
party game fighter.
Let me see. Another one I can't categorize is Minecraft. I'll just call it first person crack. I'm going to make up a genre and call it shit. And I would like to put the Avatar blue person game in it.
Okay.
Avatar, I had to specify which crappy Avatar game he was referring to.
Avatar as in the one with giant Smurfs.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm not sure if this email was exactly what you guys were looking for. I think it was.
It's close enough.
But I had some time and decided to give my 2 cents. Peace, Space Bro.
Thanks, Space Bro.
Thanks, Space.
Well done.
A good fix in there.
All right.
Comprehensive.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. All right. Take it away, Jeff.
Cool. We got another one. Hello, Indus. Link's Lap Dance here regarding the question of the week. I would say that for me, it would be Fallout 3. Before this game, the only RPGs I ever had played were Final Fantasy, insert sequel here, Lord of the Rings, The Third Age, my personal favorite on PS2, and other mediocre games. I thought that all RPGs were turn-based grind games that have limited, too long stories that don't really matter in the end. I first seen Fallout 3 at a friend's house when he was playing the game, and I had never seen anything like it in my life. I bought the game for for 10 euros on Amazon.
£10. Now I have,
is that pounds?
Yeah, it's pounds.
I thought it was a euro sign. Sorry. On Amazon, and now I have 367 hours clocked in a single save.
Good God.
Damn.
RPGs win now.
That's I don't have that many hours in that game, dude. I have all 1,550 achievement points, and I don't have 300 hours in it.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
He loves that game, though. That and Battlefield were like his shit.
I can't say I blame him, man. Fucking Fallout 3 is awesome.
I'd go before that and say Oblivion was, I don't know.
I don't agree at all. God, Fallout, I could not get into Oblivion.
Well, is that because of the content in terms of like the atmosphere and the environments?
No. In all retrospect, the kind of gamer I am, I should have loved Oblivion and hated Fallout, and it was the exact opposite. Just because of the way the game's played. I don't know why, but there's something about Oblivion. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get into it.
I don't know. I put more hours into Fallout as well, and I don't know. That's all. Fallout 3 is awesome.
Fallout 3 is awesome. All right, let's move on. This one is from Mr. Nep. He goes, "Hi-yo, Indus Crew.
Hey-o.
It's been a long time, but Mr. Nep is back to send in an answer to your question of the week. I promise this will be shorter than, any email I've ever sent you ever sent you guys. There's two main genres I love, so I'll focus on them. For the fighting game genre, the game that really drew me in and made me love the genre was Guilty Gear X. I had played the main fighters up to that point, but until I played that game, I didn't have any fondness for sitting down and learning a system, character, and all that associated with fighters. I was a masher that didn't even know how to block or anything, basic like, Dragon Punch or 2-3-6 motion.
No, so your ace is high. Sorry, aces love you, buddy. I'm just kidding.
Sounds a lot like me, honestly. I used to think that if you had to use a block button in a fighting game, you were doing something wrong.
So I'm ignorant here too, then. What are 2-3-6 motions?
2-3-6 is basically a quarter circle.
Oh,
it's basically if you're to look at a numeric keyboard.
Oh, okay. Okay.
2-3-6. Yeah. Quarter circle forward. Yeah.
Cool. Thankfully, I am not like that anymore. For the RPG genre, the one game that drew me in was Final Fantasy X. Not only the genre, but it pulled me into gaming, period. I was a casual and not particular fan of any genre up until I played that game. I instantly fell in love with how amazing it looked. And how much fun it was to play and watch the story unfold. Thanks to Final Fantasy X, it opened up a big door that I have yet to close to this day. Thank you for existing, Final Fantasy X. Cool. That's all I got to say for the matter.
Take care, people. Mr. Nep out.
Nice. He's a. He probably is a good Guilty Gear player. He's a pretty decent Blaze Blue player, and that came from Guilty Gear.
So. Yeah. Very true. The Final Fantasy X is an interesting place to start as far as RPGs go. I mean, my RPG entry goes all the way back to the original Dragon Warrior, so I don't really know.
But you're fucking old.
I am fucking old. and the funny thing is that I'm not that much older than you.
I know.
Doesn't that suck? But yeah, I mean, Dragon Warrior, the original Dragon Warrior was my entry drug into RPGs, and you know, many people diss it to this day, but I loved that game. And from there, it went to Final Fantasy, and then...
Isn't that where Dragon Quest eventually came from, was Dragon Warrior?
Dragon Warrior is Dragon Quest. They were not allowed to call it Dragon Quest at the time because of some copyright, I believe it was. Dragon Quest VIII was the first one to be called Dragon Quest. All the rest were Dragon Quest.
Wow, all the way to VIII?
Yeah. Because the PS1 had Dragon Warrior VII. So.
Holy shit.
Yep.
All right. I guess I didn't follow RPGs at all, apparently.
All right, you're up, Jeff.
Cool. All right. Good friend of the show. He says, hello, sirs. This is Shadow Hatto writing in for your question of the week. Let's get right to it. Dungeon Crawler. Diablo. When I first played this game on PC, I was completely blown away and instantly made loot grabs a favorite genre of mine. Diablo's good shit.
It is good shit.
RTS. Warcraft 2. I spent so many late school nights playing on this on my 56k dial-up modem over a website called Battle.net.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe you've heard of it. Dude, Warcraft 2, that I'm going to agree right away cuz I played Dune 2 back in the day. Like Building of a Dynasty. I don't know if you guys ever played that game.
No.
Yep.
Like the Atreides. Yeah, it was good shit back in the day.
Like a real-time strategy game?
Yep, that's right. And that was, like, the first one I ever played, and I was kind of like, this is kind of cool. But Warcraft 2 was the one that, like, it was the first one I actually played, like, online against friends and stuff on dial-up modem. Mm-hmm. It was good times. I like that pick. Fighters. Street Fighter 2. Well, I was one of the few people who played Street Fighter 1. It wasn't until 2 came out that I became obsessed with fighters.
And he's pretty damn good at them, too.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people played 1. 1 was just fucking terrible. So... racing, Gran Turismo 2. I loved racing games prior to GT2, but it really proved to me what a racing game can do. While still being accessible to newer players, there hasn't been a racing game that good since, in my opinion. Since 2?
A lot of people say that's where, you know, it peaked. That's where Gran Turismo peaked. I've heard a lot of people say that, yeah.
I think 3. I loved 1. One would be my pick for that one.
Yeah,
that
one is the one I put the most time into, that's for sure.
Brawlers, Double Dragon, what up? I spent so many quarters playing this game anywhere I could find it. On vacation or shopping at the store, I would be looking for a Double Dragon cabinet to be somewhere nearby. So true. That's my first arcade game that I became obsessed with.
Can I say that Double Dragon was left in the shadows after Streets of Rage came out?
Oh, hell yeah, definitely. Like, Streets... Well, fuck yeah. It was Left in the Shadows when Final Fight came out.
See, I didn't like Final Fight nearly as much as I did Streets of Rage.
Neither did I, yeah. But... Yeah. Like, I can still go back and play Final Fight and Streets of Rage. I can't go back and play Double Dragon. It's just very, very
I did hard. Go back and play Double Dragon at MGC.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, Ken and I beat it. God, what a horribly designed game. It's so bad.
It doesn't hold up. But that was literally the first arcade game I think I was addicted to. Like, same with Shadow. Yeah. Like, Nate, I was like, anywhere I went to an arcade, that was the first game I looked for. And was like, I remember going to the little sidebar. I used to curl back in the day. Curling, you know.
Sport. Were you a sweeper?
I was actually a skip, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. That's basically like the captain. But we went to this like a tournament, and they had in the waiting room when you're waiting to like between games for the tournament, they had like these arcade games, and one of them was Double Dragon, and you could play for free. And I would rather play that the entire day than actually go with my team and curl. So anyway.
Nice, dude.
First-person shooters. Halo. I love playing Doom, fragging people online in Quake, and the greatness of Counter-Strike. Halo is the one that changed how I played FPS games. Soon after I got my Xbox, we were playing 8 to 16 players 3 to 4 times a week. I really missed that. That's pretty cool. That's pretty crazy.
That is 8 pretty to 16
players
yeah.
4 to 3 to 4 times a week. It's crazy. 3D platformer, Mario 64.
There's a surprise.
I still don't believe any game since has recaptured the magic of Mario 64. It was so simple, and yet it could be so complex.
I enjoy Galaxy better, but I would still agree that Mario 64 is what that kind of defined it. Yeah,
yeah, set the for standard. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Didn't define good camera, but
I think
it didn't necessarily define good platforming in 3D either. But it was the first to do it relatively well.
It showed us it was possible at the very least.
Yes. Shmup. Life Force,
nice
Salamander, was the first shmup I really got into. Even though I had a couple others from my NES, this was my favorite, and I played it a ton.
And I put in the Konami code every fucking time I played that game.
It was hard. RPG, Final Fantasy.
There you go.
This was a tough choice. Although Dragon Warrior was my first RPG I really got into, it wasn't until I got Final Fantasy that I found out how absolutely incredible RPGs could be.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's the first one on NES.
Yes. Yeah.
2D
that was pretty cool, man, because they had like the whole evolution of characters and stuff like that, and like you'd start out with like one of the character classes was Black Belt and he would turn into a ninja later on and stuff like that. It was interesting.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also pretty cool is a game that a lot of people hold high on their pedestal is a 2D platformer Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yes.
Nice.
I loved all sorts of platformers prior to this, such as Ninja Gaiden and Blastmaster. This was the game that was played everywhere you went, from friends' houses to the middle of shopping malls, although technically Super Mario World is my favorite. So that's cool.
That's okay. Super Mario Brothers can be your favorite, but Super Mario 3 definitely changed a lot of things about like the way, yeah, it didn't really change anything. It just kind of perfected a lot of stuff.
Yep.
You know, it felt the control was tight. You know, all the suits were very interesting and creative. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would definitely agree.
For sure.
Probably biggest refinement of that genre.
Oh God, yeah. It was a huge jump from two, even though technically it wasn't a Super Mario Brothers game to begin with. But
mm-hmm. Well, even the Japanese 2 was just the same thing as Super Mario Brothers 1.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's still a leap even from the actual.
Yeah. If you look at the actual timeline of actual Super Mario Brothers games, mm-hmm. for the jump from 1 to 2 was basically nothing, and the jump from 2 to 3 was like ridiculous.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Following up, his adventure game. Legend of Zelda. By throwing so many different things together, Nintendo showed that a game with an open map could be amazing. So why can't we get more Link to the Past type games anymore?
Thank you, God!
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sick of this shit.
Unfortunately, it was on the Game Boy Advance and called Minish Cap.
Oh, well, yeah.
I didn't play that one, actually.
Minish Cap
was good. It was really good.
That's what I've heard. I never played
it. That needs to be an HD remake. Give me my 2D Zeldas on a console disc.
I would love Link to the Past for sure.
Shit, like, I'll take a 2D Zelda on 3DS. I don't give a fuck where it is. Just give me one.
Link's Awakening, The Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons, and Minish Cap. Give me the handheld games. Because man, those people miss those.
Link's Awakening is still, in a lot of people's opinion, like the best Zelda.
It really is up there.
Yeah.
Amen, brothers.
I did play through that one.
We're fucking old. I was like, oh yeah, I know, no Ocarina of Time. Best Zelda ever. You're 18.
If you think Ocarina of Time is the best Zelda, go home. No, seriously, go home.
He finishes it up just saying, I know less I'm out, but I figured my email was already more than long enough. Thanks for reading it, guys. Peace out, Nate.
Thank you, Nate.
We go on to another ridiculously long email from our buddy Chance.
Let's hold on to this one.
Yeah, I think we should.
We'll talk with Chance a little bit, and you know, but after we get on his case about sending novels to the show for us to read. You know,
it's fucking like a fucking book of Game of Thrones.
This is like the fifth book in Game of Thrones, right here. But we'll you guys will see this. You will see this. I promise. We'll work.
It's a very good email.
Yeah, it is a very good email. I do have one more.
As we acted out in theater.
That's right. Join us at Indus Fest where you get to see the history of video games acted out by the Indus crew.
by director.
And David DeWant.
Exactly.
All right. I have one more entry into this question of the week, and it is a voicemail from our buddy.
This is Necro here.
Oh, fuck.
I guess you guys were talking this week about game genres and the games that define them for you. So I figured I hadn't called in for a while, so I figured I'd give it a shot. First-person shooters, definitely the game that defined that genre for me was Duke Nukem.
Nice.
For many different reasons, but, you know, I'm not going to ramble on about that now. For RPGs, it would probably be Final Fantasy VIII. That game stuck with me. It has stuck with me for a long time, and it was probably the first game that got me into RPGs. But I would say, like now, probably Dragon Age is probably like the franchise that I look to for RPGs. Platformers, definitely a big one for me was. Of course, Super Mario Brothers 3. I mean, there was so much cool stuff in that game, from finding all the hidden flutes to, like, that level where you're in the shoe. Like, that level that was fucking cool. Awesome. let's see what else we got. We got action games. Of course, you're looking for character action games, unsurprisingly. Ninja Gaiden is my biggest influence there for many different reasons, which I've probably iterated 1,000 times over the course of me calling into the show. So, as far as other action games, I would have to say Metal Gear Solid. I've said this numerous times that Metal Gear Solid is probably the biggest influence of any game pretty much ever on me, for so many different reasons, stealth games, for stealth games, that was the game that really got me into stealth games, and this whole notion that, like, wow, it's kind of interesting not to shoot people sometimes, you know, and actually try to sneak around.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, of course, I like the whole roster of, stealth action games now, but, I'm not a big sports guy. I'm not a big racing guy. What else is there? I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up. I hope you guys have a good show. You know what? Actually, fighting games. Holy shit. I totally forgot fighting games. I don't play a whole lot of them. Because, like, I bought Marvel vs. Capcom, I bought BlazBlue, I bought Street Fighter 4, I played them all for, like, a week, maybe a week and a half, and then I shelved them all. Like, they just don't hook me.
Except for...
But, Mortal Kombat, man, I have been playing this from April 19th all the way up to now, like, every night, online, offline.
You need to play it more.
And in case you haven't heard, I will completely admit this is ridiculous, but I have bought 4 copies of Mortal Kombat.
What?
Yes, you heard right. 4 copies for a grand total spent of damn near close to $400.
Oh,
I bought the tournament edition with the stick for PS3. I bought the regular edition. And then I buy the Collector's Edition for 360, and I also bought my buddy Aces High a copy on PS3 so he can play with us online. And it's almost $400 I put into the game, which is insane. That is insane. But
that is
so
insane.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat.
You're absolutely
definitely
right.
My fighting game of choice. Again, for a lot of different reasons that I could ramble on for a long time.
Blood.
But so now I will let you guys go. Hope you guys have a good show. We'll see you later.
Thank you, Necro.
Thanks, Necro.
Fatalities.
That's a lot of fucking Mortal Kombat.
That is a lot of fucking Mortal Kombat. Good God. God, there was one that I wanted to comment on, and I now forgot it.
Ninja Gaiden?
No. Well, oh, yeah.
Duke
well,
Nukem?
Character action genre. We didn't really touch on that one yet.
Okay.
I kind of want to say God of War, but...
Yeah, you... I'd say Devil May Cry. I'd say Devil May Cry was the one.
Yeah, in terms
like,
of like redefining, Devil May Cry is probably up there.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think that's where it all started. Mm-hmm. I mean that well, there's no thinking about it. That's where it all started.
Yeah, I think that took it from like the Strider or even like the side-scrolling brawler games, like not the 3D ones, like the side like River City Ransom is still kind of like. There's an X and Y axis, but I'm trying to think of something that would be like I don't know, like I think that was mine with Devil May Cry was gonna be like the reinventing of the character action game because that went from Resident Evil in the 3D era to, from the 2D era, which would be like Ninja Gaiden, Strider, Shinobi, to Devil May Cry. Because all those games that tried to come out with a sequel or on 3D time, all tried to mimic that. Mm. Whether they were good or not, it's a different story, but they all tried to basically take what Devil May Cry did.
Okay, I am just super curious about this, and I know I've probably looked this up before, but I'm looking it up again. Okay, so here's the date to remember.
Metal Gear Solid 3 was not on Xbox.
Here's the date to remember. November 12, 2002, okay?
November, okay. Oh, wow.
Devil May Cry. First one came out,
by the way,
October 17th, 2001. So Devil May Cry was before Rygar.
Okay, yeah. You were seriously looking at Rygar?
Yeah, for some reason I couldn't remember which one came first. So, but yes, come to find out, Devil May Cry did come out before Rygar.
Yeah.
You know what we haven't seen a lot of, and it's like they made the I played the first one and then it just fell off my radar was Onimusha, which was also a kind of a character action game. You know, it's kind of a character action horror sort of game. And
between,
you know,
like, it was like transition between like or the lead up to Devil May Cry after Resident Evil, kind of.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I mean
and
they made a few
awesome.
Of them and you know we just haven't seen them in a while so.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about a lot of ours. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I was going to say, we might not see it right now, but I think L.A. Noire might be the, I'd say it'd be the new point-and-click.
Redefining the adventure
redefining
genre.
The point-and-click adventure, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what I get from that game 100%. Like,
really?
Oh, totally.
I don't really like, get that.
No, really you go that. Up to a scene... And you basically like
yeah, but there's also I mean I don't get it because of the all the driving and the gunplay and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, no, but take out that that's like basically a means to an end, like in terms of like between cases.
Yeah.
But when you actually get to the actual core gameplay, it's here's a case, you're in an area, you have to walk around, you have to find clues, you put together the clues, and when you actually get to interrogate people, you're matching up stuff that you found to prove them wrong, prove them right, whatever, either way. And to me, I get a very point-and-click adventure vibe from, like, back in, like, Monkey Island, Space Quest days, except in a more modern-day setting of gaming. Because point-and-click games... I want to see how L.A. Noire does in terms of sales.
It's doing pretty well, as far as I know.
I'm sure it is. Like, but I'm hoping... Like, I wonder how many people actually went into that knowing what it is.
Mm.
Except for people, like, going into it and like, oh, it looks like... Grand Theft Auto, but in the 1940s, which it's not.
It's not.
I get a way more point like adventure game from that than anything, and that's one I would mention. I'd be like, I think that's because people try to bring back point click adventures, like you got all the what's called the guys do like Jurassic Park,
Telltale.
Telltale. All the Telltale guys doing that, just doing the same kind of thing. Where I think Rockstar nailed it, like the. Good evolution of the genre is what they did with it. It's kind of a point-and-click adventure game masked by a 3D action game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's almost like a genre merging, because you have both elements there. You have the adventure, and you also have the 3D action, so...
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Side-scrolling platforming adventure, a.k.a. Metroidvania.
I'm trying to think, like, Symphony
of the Night. I mean, come on.
I'd play something, yeah, but Symphony of the Night is still...
It's still the best Metroidvania that there is.
I know, but did it reinvent what Super Metroid did, though?
Yes.
Well, it created the Metroidvania genre.
Well, yeah, sub-genre, but Metroid made that thing first before Castlevania did the same thing.
Yeah, but the addition of RPG elements.
Okay, yeah.
And working in, you know, the sort of like the greater story.
That's
just
what
the sheer
I want to
amount
hear,
of
buddy.
Content. You know?
Exactly. I agree with you. Point made. I digress. That's good, because my thing was going to be Shadow Complex. I don't think Shadow Complex really reinvented it. I think it just took what Symphony of the Night did, but put a better map infrastructure in with the game, and that's what it did. I can't really think of anything else that really hasn't been said, except for...
Shoot into the background.
The who and the where and the what now?
Oh, sorry. Still on Shadow Complex.
I was going to say, like, even though Street Fighter 4 didn't reinvent the genre, it reinvigorated it. That's what brought it back from the dead, the fighting game genre, outside of 3D fighters. Like, Street Fighter 4 brought
Street
in...
Street Fighter 3 did not... New. Was not nearly as popular as 2.
Oh, God, no.
But
no.
Street Fighter 4 is getting back to that level.
Yep, it brought back the entire genre. Yep. Like, we're seeing fighting games for days!
Son!
Since that came out.
All right, should we do some new releases? Or are you still going?
I think we should. It is. Like, yeah.
No, let's say
Need for Speed Hot Pursuit reinvented the arcade racer. I think, Burnout. Burnout did it first.
How about that other game that they made before Hot Pursuit?
Yeah, I was going to say, that Burnout game, that was pretty good too.
Yeah, it was all right. All right,
Derek,
new releases.
I think we're good.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so probably the biggest release of next week is Infamous 2, so it should be a good time there.
Infamous.
So PS3 only, obviously. also on PS3 and 360 is Red Faction Armageddon. Unfortunately, it seems to have dropped the open world nature of Guerrilla and gone back to more of what it originally was, although there's still not terrain destruction, just random building destruction stuff. So, yeah, demo is kind of average, I thought. And also on the shooter front, there's Operation Flashpoint Red River for PS3 and 360, so I'm sure it's a fairly realistic shooter, as those Operation Flashpoint games seem to be. Mm-hmm. Now, on the download front, probably the biggest thing that you'll be interested in is the Street Fighter Arcade Edition DLC is coming out. So you get your 4 extra characters and your unbalanced changes and whatever else. Also interesting on DLC news is Nintendo is going to launch the 3DS shop.
Yep,
not exactly sure what's going to be there. I did hear that the Excitebike 3D, that's a 3D version of the original NES Excitebike, is going to be free. So that'll be good. Ooh, and there's some sort of something or other. I don't really give a shit. And of course, probably some other Game Boy, maybe some Game Boy Color games to download. And of course, all the DSiWare games will be downloadable. So there's some great titles there that are worth looking into. As for the other download services, I got no fucking idea, so you'll have to go and check.
Nice.
Thanks, Pete.
Any gaps, Sophia, to fill in? Green Lantern, yeah, Rise of the Manhunters is coming out for just about everything.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nobody gives a shit about that.
Fill that in.
Infamous.
Infamous. apparently, Mega Man Legends 3 prototype version is downloadable off of the eShop for the 3DS. So I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I would assume that
I'm too afraid to give a shit that, because I'm sure someone's going to be like, what? Mega Man Legends is God.
This is Capcom's experiment where they release the prototype version of the game. You still have to pay for it. It's cheaper than what the full version of the game would be. And if the fans finish the game, then they'll release it.
So it's like Minecraft.
Pretty much, yeah.
But if you don't exactly millions. Get what you pay for here.
So, pick of the week.
Infamous.
Infamous. I forgot to throw in his addendum. He had an addendum. Hey, gents, I spaced on this a little, but I am sure... This will make Chris both happy and mad at the same time. Next week also sees the release of White Knight Chronicles 2 for PS3 and White Knight Chronicles Origins for PSP in PAL territories only. For whatever reason, Sony of America chose not to publish the game. Publish the games there, so you will have to wait until D3 puts it out sometime in August. Later, repeat.
Thanks, Repeat.
Thanks
for updating your stuff.
And that is...
we're too incompetent to do so.
That is new releases. So shall we do some emails?
I think we should.
Cool. Who's up? Me or you? I think I'm up.
I'll do the first one here.
Okay, go ahead.
We got, hey guys, I'm not running the show in quite a while, but I honestly need to on such a joyous occasion. At the time of 7:19 Central Time on the evening of June 2nd, I almost had a heart attack. This is caused from hearing three simple words, MGS HD Collection.
Those are
this
six.
May be,
do those count as words?
Sorry?
Do those count as words?
Sure,
why yes, not? They count as six of them.
This made me scream like a giddy little girl in a celebration. I ran 3 miles to lower my excitement. This is only seeing the headline of the news article. Once I read the article, I wanted to throw confetti, do a backflip, and break a pinata. Once okay. I saw the release date, I quickly put my Peace Walker bandana I got from pre-ordering and high-fived my girlfriend.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait. They announced it for November. So what date is he talking about?
Probably the fact that it's coming out this year.
Yeah, probably. That's what I'm guessing for. Now she thinks I love games more than her. Sad face. Keep up the good work and Godspeed. P.S. What does Godspeed mean? I wanted to use a word I didn't know the meaning of to make this email more classy. Louis.
Godspeed is like safe travels.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And I think I know. I'm trying to put together his... is that Five Cobras? Maybe.
Might be.
Because I saw somebody on Twitter mention, oh my god, they mentioned the economy thing. This is crazy. I'm going to go run 3 miles just in celebration. And then we got this email. So it might be him. I don't know. He didn't... He just put the email as, it might be Louis. It's L-U-I-S. It could be Louis Louis. Louis Louis. Oh, said a wee.
Stop.
Sorry. Anywho.
Yeah.
Moving on.
The collections are you know, pretty exciting.
I'm going to buy them all. I'm not going to lie.
I probably will, too.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. I am probably the most excited for ZOE for some reason.
Yeah, for sure. I've never played them. That's why I'm more
excited. Oh, so good, dude. All right. So this one is a little bit different. It's coming from Nabashin, and it's kind of long, so I normally would not read it because we're running long. But this is directly, you know, it has to do with E3. So E3 is next week, so let's talk about this real quick. Yo, in dudes. It's your pal Nabashin186 here, taking a break from the voicemails for a while, even though he sent us two this week, which we are putting in the backlog right now, to ask you guys to try out a little experiment I have. So seeing that E3 is next week, and by the time I hear you guys read this message, it'll be Monday, I thought you would like to try a little thing I'm calling Indus Hype Meter. What this will consist of is me listing a bunch of games that are coming out soon, and you will give only a one-word response to it. No discussion in between or arguments. This should be good. If you want to say your piece about it, for example, why Jeff is looking forward to Moose Humper 6000, the Rape Edition, I ask that you wait until you get through the list. So for the responses, you can only choose out of four that will gauge your general interest for the game.
Okay.
We can say Woot, which means that we are very hyped for the game. Tampax, which is some interest, but not too excited.
Tampax.
Meh, which is little to no interest. And Hoogass, which is why the fuck would I want this game?
Okay.
So here are the games. So now we have... Yeah, now that we have that ground rules down,
wait. Here are the options again.
What's that?
Woot? I got Woot and Hoogass.
Woot, Tampax, Meh, and Hoogass.
All right.
And they are in that order, best to worst.
Okay.
So 2K games.
We got the ground rules.
BioShock Infinite.
Woot.
Woot.
Meh.
What?
Duke Nukem
the fuck
Forever.
Is wrong
no
with
commenting.
You? Sorry.
Duke Nukem Forever.
Meh.
Tampax. The Darkness 2.
Woot.
Meh.
XCOM.
Woot. Tampax.
Meh. 2K Sports, NBA 2K12.
Woot! Who gasped?
Yeah.
Come on, do it.
Who gasped?
Yeah, do it.
Activision, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Tampax.
Who gas?
Who gas? Prototype 2.
Who gas?
Who gas?
Meh. Spider-Man Edge of Time.
Meh.
Who gas? Prey 2? Oh, Bethesda. Prey 2?
Bethesda. Prey 2, I'm going to go with Tampax.
Meh. Dave?
Oh, I said who gas.
Oh, okay. Rage.
Woot!
Is Tampax a good one?
Tampax is a good one.
Tampax okay. is middle of the road, basically.
Then, yeah, it's Tampax.
Yeah, Tampax. Skyrim.
Woot!
Tampax.
Tampax. And I will explain that one later. Oh, God. This one's going to hurt. White Knight Chronicles 2.
Who gives a shit?
Ouch, my ass hurts. Dead Island.
Tampax.
Tampax. Battlefield 3.
Woot.
Woot.
Tampax. Madden NFL 12. Mass Effect 3. Woot!
Motherfucking woot!
Woot.
Is there a level above woot?
That's what I was looking for. That's
can there
I said
be, can there be
woot.
A holy fucking shit woot?
Holy fucking shit woot!
SSX.
Woot!
Wait,
I love
what?
SSX.
Yeah. SSX.
Tampax.
Tampax. Star Wars The Old Republic.
Tampax.
I'm going to say Tampax for that one, too.
I'm going to say Tampax for that one as well. El Shandi. Shadi, sorry.
Oh, El Shaddai?
Shaddai, that's it.
That's a Tampax.
I'm Tampax on that.
I'm going to go meh with that one. I don't know enough about it, that's why.
You can't pronounce it as all.
That's true. I can't pronounce my name right now.
Microsoft, Forza 4.
Tampax.
Meh.
Meh.
Gears 3.
Tampax.
Meh.
Meh. Alan Wake 2.
Tampax.
Meh.
Meh.
And I liked the first one, but I have no interest in the second one at all.
I liked the first one. I just couldn't really get into it. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I thought it was a great idea.
I just couldn't.
Thought it was awesome. You know, it wasn't that good.
No, I thought it was a good idea.
It was kind of like a sloppy blowjob. I kind of enjoyed it. But at the same time, it was like, I could do without it. You know, meh. I would rather just. You know.
Burger Time World Tour.
Who guessed?
Who guessed?
I have no idea. Meh. Soul Calibur 5.
Meh.
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 It'll have boobies, though.
Meh.
Soul Calibur meh. Boobs. Nintendo, Super Mario 3DS.
Meh.
Who guess?
Tampax. Skyward Sword.
Tampax.
Meh.
Meh.
It pains me to say it, but man.
It pains me to say it, too, but I did play it at E3 last year, and unless they fixed it, yeah.
Mm.
Ratchet and Clank All for One.
Tampax.
Tampax.
Woot. Resistance 3.
Who gas?
Tampax.
Tampax. Starhawk.
Woot.
Tampax.
Tampax. Twisted Metal.
Tampax.
Tampax.
Tampax. Uncharted 3.
Woot. Woot.
Motherfucker woot?
Yes.
And yep. Uncharted Portable, which is, what's it called?
It's, they named it
Golden Showers?
Yeah, it's
Golden Showers. I fucking posted it on Retroids and
yeah,
I don't remember
go,
what
buddy.
It's called.
Fail.
I'm going to say meh. Not meh. I'm going to say woot. Sorry.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to give, the only reason I'm going to give it a Tampax is
because
I'm going to play 3 first probably and... I don't know. Uncharted for me is such a visual thing. Not on top of the gameplay, it's like going back down and being like playing the same kind of style game on the portable might be kind of
totally breaking the rules.
I'm sorry. Woot. Okay. Sorry. Woot.
Square Enix. Hitman Absolution.
Who gas?
Who gas?
Final Fantasy Versus 13.
I was waiting for Dave. I didn't hear him.
Oh I did a meh.
Okay.
You'll hear it on the recording.
Okay, good. Versus 13.
Meh.
Tampax. Mm-hmm. 13-2.
Who guess?
Meh. Because breaking the rules. Sorry. Metro 2033 Last Light.
I'm going to go Tampax in that one.
Yeah, Tampax.
Meh. Saints Row the Third.
Who guess?
Meh.
Ninja Gaiden 3.
Woot.
Meh.
Tampax. Assassin's Creed.
I like this. It's fun.
Assassin's Creed 2, 3. Assassin's Creed Revelations.
I'm going to go Tampax.
Meh. I'm done. Call of Juarez.
Meh.
Who guess?
Who guess? Child of Eden.
Tampax.
Rayman Origins.
Who guess?
Meh.
Oh, here's the one that just came that we just talked about on new releases. Green Lantern, Rise of the Manhunters. Who guess? but this one, I think we'll all agree. Batman Arkham City.
Motherfucker, what the fuck? Woot!
I agree. Woot.
Da-da-da-da, woot woot.
Nice. I think that was fun.
Depending on how this turns out, I might do this after E3 when newer games are announced. Hope you guys liked it. That was cool.
I want to make a suggestion, Nebishan. If you do it again, put a fifth one. Put a middle one.
Yeah, because it's hard. Like, it's hard to have. Like that's why we actually started our rating system with only four ratings, but it was so hard to do it that way.
It was ridiculous, yeah.
So that's why we threw in the fifth one.
Yeah, you got to have a true middle.
That was pretty cool. Tampax, I would think, is fun. A middle ground. You need something between Woot and Tampax.
Okay, you got to explain why.
Well, Tampax when the flow is going. You need a steady flow right down the middle.
Tampax is...
Any woman will tell you, if it's flowing in your Tampax, you're doing something wrong.
Exactly.
Tampax
it was flowing right down the center. Tampax
is Travis's way of saying inside joke.
Yeah, I know.
Get it? I was talking to Dave. He asked about it.
Yeah, I was missing the reference, unfortunately.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But that is our emails for this week.
Cool.
So before we do question of the week, let's talk about a contest.
I think we should. That's a good idea.
Jeff, this is yours, man. I want you to do this one.
I'm not going to say it's mine. This actually came from Mike PSN08.
This is his second one in a row because he gave us the Mortal Kombat one.
We need to compensate him some way for this because this is a great idea.
I got something for him. Actually, Mike, why don't you send me your address and a PM on Retroids. I've got something to send you.
Cool. He got the idea where if a game comes out and you can make the ultimate special edition, what would it be? And it being June, and Duke
What's
Nukem
out, June?
Forever is coming out.
Finally, however many years, 15
oh my
years,
God.
Is it?
Yeah. If you were the producer, whatever, the marketing dude for 2K, or not, whoever, Bethesda. No, not Bethesda. Fucking, I don't even know. Who's even fucking publishing this? I just know
2K,
Gearworks.
2K, Gearbox.
Is it 2K? Okay.
Yeah.
So 2K, you can create whatever crazy lucrative special edition you could think of for Duke Nukem. What would it be? What would be included in it? And just go for it. No restrictions. Just go for it. What would be included in this?
And how much would it cost?
And how much would it cost? Yeah, exactly.
That's a necessity.
Just basically go all out. What would be included in it? You can throw in your grandmother. It doesn't fucking matter. Just go
throw
for
in
it.
Your grandmother.
This has been in the works for fucking 15 years or some shit. So
yeah. This is the special edition that lasted 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
We will be doing this contest for the month of June. However, we will be actually reading the entries and picking a winner the first week of July because we're actually pretty booked up for this month. Get those entries in. I will have a post up hopefully by Monday, and you guys will get all the information then. All right. Question of the week.
Yeah.
Hey, so next week is E3, right?
It is E3.
Let's just talk about E3.
What's
E3? I think we should.
It's this weird. It's this like small little video game conference show that happens.
It's like an award show television.
Okay, you know, a bunch of geeks just getting together. Okay.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah, yeah. A bunch of big smelly people in one big room.
That's how it works.
Pretty much, we're just going to talk about E3. So, if you guys have any questions or any comments about E3, send them on. We'd love to hear them. What did you think of what was announced at E3? That'll be our question of the week. How about that? So to answer the question of the week, you can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. Send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337. If you are on...
It's like lead, but it's not.
That's right. Filling in for Travis. Good job. If you're on Twitter, please follow us. We are Indus Podcast. You can also follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
Dave, what's your... nice.
Someone's got to fill in.
Well done, sir. Well done. What is your Twitter?
David S. Gallant.
Okay. So it's not, what was it before? It was a...
You're making me...
Safari.
It's not Kid Masturbator.
That's right. not Kid, not like he was a Kid Masturbator. He was Kid Masturbator, if that makes any sense.
There were two D's in Kid. That's important.
Yeah, to know. And it was Masturbate.
There's no comma in there.
That dark time of my life is over, thankfully.
We do have two interviews coming up in the month of June. Please check out our website and Retroids for that information. We're going to be interviewing Way Forward Technologies and also Supergiant Games. Check those out. We're going to be talking about both Blood Rain and Bastion, which are coming out this summer for Xbox Live. And Blood Rain is also coming out for PSN. So check that out. And I think that's all I have. You guys have anything else before we wrap up?
No, it is Dave. Pimp your shit.
Pimp yourself, man. Oh, thank you for joining us. Where can they find you?
Tons of places right now. Best place to find me is at my new website, silvermaplestudios.com. Catch up on my journey into learning to make them Vidya games.
Vidya.
And, but yeah, otherwise, you know, I'm out on Twitter all the freaking time, pretty much. 16,000 tweets and counting.
Good God,
at David S. Gallon. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm an addict. I was going
to
say.
No, that's true. Thank you very much for joining us and for hitting up the Konami.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you for going and talking and listening about video games and having an open bar to your
Hey, anytime I can take that bullet,
that bird off of our shoulders, right?
I'll be right there. That's ready.
All right. Well, that is our show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you are on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Jeff.
I'm David.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Whoa.
On the reg.
The reg.
It's Tampax because it goes inside.
I hope you have that.
I do.
That was perfect.
David, thank you for giving me the best laugh I've had all week. Holy shit, dude.
That was perfect timing. That was good.
What that reminded me of? Did you ever see Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah.
And at the very end, he goes, French class! I get it!
It just kind of came to me. I didn't get time to think about it.